much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective. There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This Saturday night, right after.
Right now, I'd like to talk about a serious problem. April Fool's Day. April Fool's Day is to comedy as St. Patrick's Day is to Irish culture. That is to say, it is a mockery of the very concept that usually ends in a fist fight. But you may not know that April Fool's Day was actually invented by FDR in 1934 as a way to raise national morale during the Great Depression. April Fool! That's not true at all. I made it up. You trusted me and I betrayed that trust. I betrayed you. Isn't betrayal fun?
And now...
Be careful on the April Fool's jokes.
Our feature presentation.
He's got a point. Hippie's got a point.
See?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 1st of April.
April Fool's Day used to be so fun on our show, didn't it?
Yeah, we had some good ones. Sure did.
Back in the day, and people still expect one, but we've kind of been, they kind of clamped down on our ability to do April Fool's
Kind of. It was funny, though, because maybe later today we can kind of go through the history of them, because it started, you know, with our own bosses getting mad and storming into the office.
Insisting we go on and reveal whatever
you
it was.
You tell them that this is a prank, and Bean says, I don't know how to do it, you do it. So we put him on, and he was so mad.
So mad.
And then it got to lawyers back east, like in New York, and now they send out all these official memos. It's just insanity.
The man holding your pranks
That's
down.
That's correct.
It's true.
Sorry.
I mean, I think what's left is we can go, man, I'm really hungry. I'm not hungry. I was kidding. I mean, that's about as much as we could do these days. They kind of anything that involves the listeners believing something that's not true, apparently, is no longer allowed on an April Fool's Day show. So, but they were fun back in the day.
It's difficult to do an April Fool's joke if you can't have somebody believe something that's not true.
Well, that was our argument back, but we lost that one because they actually pay us. We don't pay them. So they won. is what happened
Makes
there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is the 1st of April. It is a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. It's going to be a good one. Here's a story to get us going, though. Animals are very intriguing to me. Whenever you see a story like, you know, every once in a while you'll see a dog that'll show up at a serviceman's funeral and refuse to leave. And you just go, wow, the connection, the bond between a man and his dog, you know, is sometimes, you know, magical. And you can't believe sometimes that the dog is as invested in the relationship as the person is, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Here's a story that is so crazy. This is like one of those stories where, you know, someone loses their cat and then they move or something and then the cat shows up 500 miles later, was able to find them. Some stories you just go, I don't know how that's even possible. And this is one of those. This is a woman who spent her entire life feeding stray dogs and cats in her hometown of Merida, Yucatan, down in Mexico. Just an animal lover. That was what she was passionate about and committed to. She would feed 20 dogs and cats a day in the street. She would go out looking for stray dogs to feed.
Okay.
So she passes away, and her family takes her to the family's hometown, which is 800 miles away in Cuernavaca, Morelos, in Mexico. And she has a wake there, and her daughter, Patricia, put this up on Facebook. My mother was a lover of animals. She couldn't bump into one and not give it a little bit of food, sometimes even before feeding herself. When we arrived at the funeral home for her wake, out of nowhere, a pack of dogs entered the room where the ceremony was being held and settled in. They stayed all night as if they were protecting her. And then in the morning, they left, and they hadn't been seen anywhere else. We asked at the funeral home if those stray dogs were in the neighborhood, and we were told no, they had never been seen before. They left, but about 1 hour before we took Mama away for the funeral, they came back and visited again as if to say goodbye. I swear to God, it was something beautiful, something so marvelous. And she posted this photo of this funeral home where the wake was being held, and the entire lobby is just filled with dogs that are just laying there like they live there.
Oh,
that's
weird.
Out of
nowhere. Now, these aren't dogs that this lady knew from 800 miles away that she had showed kindness to and they remembered her. And that would have been crazy enough if this had happened in the town. This is 800 miles away and these are different dogs. This is some sort of, they got on the dog CB radio and spread the word about the lady that was coming up there or
like
something,
a dog
right?
Dog phone tree.
I would love to listen to the dog CB radio.
I know. She said, when I was in a moment of so much pain, these dogs came and they showed me that everything was going to be okay. Because of them, we were happy. They made a sad situation an incredible one. And look, I get that the world is a strange and mysterious place and life is unpredictable and inexplicable sometimes. But how?
But what's up with that?
How did this happen? Like, how is it? Explain it to me.
Do you need it explained or can you be okay just knowing it happened?
Oh, my God. You know nothing about me. You know nothing about that. That statement that you just said, he doesn't even understand those words.
Right.
He has to know what went on behind the scenes.
Okay. I can't explain it and I'm okay with that. And I'm sorry you never will be. How's that?
I mean, is it magic?
Much more accurate.
It's magic.
Is that what it is?
It's the universe rewarding not only her, but her whole family. It's just, that's pure love being spread by someone.
He's gotta know!
No!
I do have to
know. He does have to know.
That's not an acceptable answer, Allie. I'm sorry. I appreciate the effort,
no
but
problem.
There must be more to it than that.
But you don't read a 10-page article on something and then go, I have questions.
Well, because they rarely give you enough information on what, I'm sure that happens to everybody where they read an article and they go, yeah, but they didn't answer the question I had about that, you know?
Maybe, but most of us, like Ellie just said, are able to go, oh, well, that happened and I'm not going to understand it. And then I have other things to do.
Mm-hmm. But what's the mysterious thing in the air or in the soil or in the world or between creatures? What is that thing that
glitter?
Is it glitter? Okay,
glitter.
Yeah, okay, that's a good answer.
See,
you heard of that?
Something makes this happen, and I don't know what it is, and I don't like it.
No, you should like it. There's so much to like about that story.
Yeah, just say, hey, the world is beyond my grasp, and that's okay. Because
the world is definitely beyond my grasp.
Right.
There's no question about
and
that.
And that's okay.
So, okay,
I want to hear you say it.
The world is beyond my grasp. That'll do for now.
He's gotta know.
No.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Kevin and Bean, stop it.
Dennis Hoff is going to be on the program today.
Might
recognize his name. He's the guy that runs the Bunny Ranch. And he's put in a new system of testers. Mm-hmm. And basically what happens is the girls that work at the Bunny Ranch, which is a house of prostitution, that is legal, they don't know if it's a paying customer or a tester that he's sending in to see how they do their jobs, how well they do their jobs.
This is secret shoppers. These are the people that go around to restaurants and just check them out anonymously to see how their service is and how their food is. This is the secret shoppers who go in and see what kind of customer service they get behind the counter at a Nordstrom or a Macy's or something like that, except you do it with prostitutes.
Huh.
And it seems like...
Like that a job would, for us?
That would be a job that a lot of people would apply for, I think.
I would think so, yeah. It would
be interesting. Dennis is a fascinating guy, by the way.
He is.
I mean, he owns a bunch of brothels there. I don't know why everybody doesn't get into that business. But he, he's the only name I know that actually does it, and he does tremendously well with it.
We have a new feature on the show today called Chip Makes Bad Decisions.
Oh,
that's
Chip.
That's very exciting. She'll admit it. Will you admit it? Yes.
Bad decision. No, hell no.
Oh,
hell no.
Off the air, she's like, oh, yeah, no. We also have Joe Levy, who is going to be on the program telling us about the new music service that Jay-Z and a bunch of people are behind called Tidal.
Mm-hmm.
This is the editor-at-large of Billboard. We're going to talk to him about that today. We have Jay Chandrasekhar.
Nice.
And Kevin Hefferman. Super Trooper 2 and Broken Lizard.
That's a lot of syllables for the monkey this hour of the day.
I did destroy it yesterday, enough for today as well, so I feel like.
You said Frozen Lizard,
too. I did. I said Frozen.
It was a gift.
Yeah. We have your tickets for April Foolishness. You can earn those in the Party Bus section right up front. And we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. So we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Do you guys think we're going to have to fire Dave?
Yes. Immediately.
He's chatty today, that's for sure.
Mm. He sure says a lot of stuff.
Give the monk the job. I say give the monk the job.
The monk? Oh, Chip?
The monk, yes.
Oh, Chip?
Yes. Is that a Chip?
She does have everything but the robe. Hey, it's Wednesday morning on the Kevin Beach Show. Ralph Garman steps in. It's his turn now. Time for the showbiz beat.
Happy April, everyone. One of my favorite months of the year because it is National Soft Pretzel Month.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the best food ever, maybe. The soft pretzel.
Soft pretzels are good.
Mm-hmm. I think they're great, even.
Yes, they are. They're
the best,
great.
Though? I don't know. The best? I don't know.
Mustard?
God,
of course.
No.
Yellow mustard?
No.
I'm a no mustard. I'm a no mustard.
What?
I'm a no mustard and I'm a no salt.
Oh.
Get out. Get out and kill yourself.
Isn't that a little extreme?
No. He must die.
They offer the soft pretzels when you buy them from the vendor guy. You can get them without the salt, and that's how I much, much prefer them.
No, the big chunk of salt that has to dissolve in your mouth over time.
Yes, the woman is right.
Bleh.
Finally. Let's mark this time.
Don't hear that sentence very often.
It's true.
Yeah, mark that time down. The woman
what
is
Bean
right.
likes is known in the business as a baldy.
Baldy?
Yes. Right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Really? That's what it's called?
That's what it's called, yes.
Right.
Now Bean actually has some information about something he always wondered about.
That's right.
Versus just, oh, life just happens. Not as acceptable.
So the soft pretzel without the salt is known as a baldy. I will make a note of that. Thank you.
Of course, my home state of Pennsylvania produces about 80% of all soft pretzels sold in the world.
Is that right?
It is a Philadelphian invention.
All right.
It's a good thing. Philadelphia, home of the soft pretzel. The real soft pretzels, not the ones you eat.
Right?
You people.
Oh, we don't have them out here?
With your baldies and your no mustard.
Yeah, mustard sucks.
Go to Philadelphia, get yourself a nice Federal pretzel. Hey, we're going down to Federal's, get a pretzel. You want one?
Do we have to say it like
that? Yeah, you got
to
say it like that.
No way. Not worth it.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news. One of Lindsay Lohan's former boyfriends is writing a new memoir where he talks about their relationship. His name is Callum Best. Remember Callum Best? She was with him for a while. He's a British-American male model, actor, television personality, reality TV participant in the UK.
Right.
In his new memoir, he claims that their relationship led him to, and I quote, some of the worst moments of my life. Admitted they were both a bit nuts during that period of their lives, and that they were combustible together.
I like it when people say they're a bit nuts, because that's just code for I am full-on crazy.
Yeah, I can't imagine what he and Lindsay got into, because she was at the peak of her party days when they were dating, and she broke up with him actually because he was caught using cocaine with a hooker.
Oh!
When she ran across him, and she ended the relationship. But so he's using blow with a hooker. Somebody doesn't even know what's he doing with Lindsay Lohan when they're partying.
She was just upset, probably, that he was sharing his cocaine.
That's right. Hey, where's my cut?
That's right.
He would ask. Talk about poor life decisions, like Chip's haircut. And, you know, it's not nearly as bad as what Critchy Critch did.
Critchy Critch?
You know Critchy Critch.
No.
But you said Critchy Critch.
You heard me.
Okay.
Critchy Critch. Critchy Critch is a DJ who apparently met Tara Reid on a flight from Miami to Los Angeles. They met on the flight and got hammered together on the flight. And apparently fell deeply in love. Because when the plane landed, the first thing they did was go to a tattoo parlor where Critchy Critch got Tara Reid's name permanently etched on his arm.
Oh, he's the best. Geez.
Critchy Critch is
Critchy
the winner,
Critch
right?
Rules. Yeah, because in the world of bad decisions, who makes a bad decision that fast?
Right off the plane.
That's crazy.
In a span of, I don't know, what's that, 6 hours from Miami to L.A.?
Don't you think about that for like a couple days?
Nope. Mm-mm. Not if you're Critchy Critch.
That's awesome.
So was he just convinced that he and Tara Reid would have a life together or something?
I don't know the reasoning behind Critchy's decision. Maybe he thought it was a joke, it'd be funny. Or maybe it's true love. I don't know. I don't know which end of the spectrum Critchy lands on. But
he's definitely on the spectrum, though. We know that.
I'm impressed by his commitment. And while we're talking about poor decisions, Trevor Noah, newly named host of the Comedy Central show, The Daily Show, is already in a bit of trouble as people went deep into his Twitter feed to find some of his previous jokes and found them anti-Semitic, racist, and sexist. And now a lot of people are upset with Trevor Noah.
Or he was making jokes.
Yeah, or he's a comic.
He's a comedian trying to be funny.
I would be much more concerned if I was Comedy Central, less about the content, more about the fact that none of them are funny. Not one of these tweets are funny.
So he's trying to make jokes, but they fell flat.
Right. And, yeah. And for example, almost bumped a Jewish kid crossing the road. He didn't look before crossing, but I would have still felt so bad in my German car.
Okay.
Not strong.
No. A hot white woman with ass is like a unicorn. Even if you do see one, you'll probably never get to ride it.
Right?
Huh?
What?
You with me, brothers?
Huh? No. Nope.
Brothers in the audience?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, the weekend. People are going to get drunk and think that I'm sexy. Fat chicks everywhere.
Nope.
I'm watching Olympic women's hockey. It's like lesbian porn without the porn. Hello? This thing on?
And is the decision, has it already been made for sure?
Yes, I believe
I've already said
has.
Yes.
Maybe this was their call for writers. Like, look what we have.
Right.
Help.
We need help.
So,
wow.
A lot of people are upset, given trouble to Comedy Central for their decision. But as I
people are like, what?
Yeah, people are like, what? In Trevor Noah's defense, however, he's never had Tara Reid's name tattooed on his arm. So he's got that going for him. He's no Critchy Critch. Maybe Critchy Critch should host the Daily Show.
That'd be awesome.
Today, celebrity birthdays. Actor Asa Butterfield is 18 years old today. He was in that space movie with Harrison Ford, right?
Ender's Game?
Yeah, Ender's Game. That was him.
Right.
Taron Killam. Love him on SNL.
He's great.
One of the funny ones over there. He's 33 years old today. David Oyelowo.
Okay.
David Oyelowo.
I think that's close.
I think it is. He's 39 years old today. And singer Susan Boyle. Susan Boyle is 54 today. She's only 54?
Yeah.
Susan Boyle? If you don't know the name, she was the winner of Britain's Got Talent. I don't even know if she won. Maybe she came in
no,
second.
No, she didn't. She came in second place, yeah.
But she had a huge recording career after that. She had that voice that you wouldn't expect to come out of her. She looks like a crazy old cat lady. And then she comes out on stage like, I had a dream that I had a dream.
Everybody's like, who's...
How did that come out of you?
Where's that sound coming from?
Yeah. She is 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So many good free things on the Kevin Devine Show today, including tickets for the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. We got WonderCon tickets. We got tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew. We got sold-out party bus section tickets for Kevin Devine's April Foolishness. All that coming up. And don't forget, at 5 o'clock once again this afternoon, Coachella tickets and entrance to the K-Rock Coachella house. So good stuff. All the details at K-Rock.com.
We are big fans of prank phone calls, mm-hmm. And we brought to you the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air the other day where they were calling C-SPAN and a bunch of different shows and basically just saying that. But this report is weird. Russell Crowe has done an interview where he says, he's talked to The Guardian, he said that Michael Jackson went to great lengths to prank him for a long period of time.
Yeah, years, actually.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. I don't know. He said he used to call him at hotels. He got his secret name that he stayed under and would prank call and do really horrible, dumb jokes like we used to do when we were like 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, Michael Jackson was the king of Arrested Development. I mean, I feel like nothing about him matured beyond being a little kid, it seems
probably
like.
True.
He says that, here's an example. He'd ring me and in a strong voice say, there's an emergency and you need to leave the building. And then Russell Crowe would say, who is this? And then he would immediately break and go, don't worry, it's just Michael Jackson. I'm just kidding.
What?
That happened.
That just seems insane. And isn't it easy to say Michael Jackson pranked you after he's been gone for years?
Oh, so you doubt whether this is true?
Yes.
Doesn't Michael Jackson seem like he had the simplistic enough sense of humor that he would roll over prank phone calls.
They had never met is the thing.
That's the weird part.
Never met is the weird part, yes.
Right?
But, but the phone would ring, it would be him, and then he would just go, oh, I'm just kidding. What the? And his...
What's happening?
Hello?
Hello? Is Mr. Wall there?
Oh, no. Michael, is this you?
No. Is Mr. Wall there?
No.
Is Mrs. Wall there?
No.
So you have no walls there?
No. There.
How did your room stay up?
Come on.
That's weird.
That's not good.
No.
Right? I mean, you laugh at that when you're five.
Right.
Maybe. Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
We're just talking about the thing.
Hello.
Here.
Hello.
Yes, Michael.
This is not Michael Jackson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, caller.
Is your refrigerator running?
Yes, it is.
Well, you better go catch it.
Okay, let's just, that's not.
And I know I'm reading this into it, but you've since he's hanging up and then just howling.
Nailed it.
Exactly.
High-fiving himself.
Oh, come on.
This is ridiculous now.
Hello.
Hello. Is Mr. Hunt there?
Nope.
Mr. Michael Hunt?
Nope. Nope, he's not.
Can you ask around?
Nope.
Call for Mr. Hunt.
We will not do that.
Is Mr. Freely there?
Is his first name IP?
No, they're initials.
Is his initials IP? Bird!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Dead Inside. Dead Inside. From Muse
or in size, either one.
Either way,
they do it their way. You do it your way,
right?
I mean, who are we to decide which one is correct?
Exactly.
Hey, the guys from Super Troopers 2, the Broken Lizard actors known as Jay and Kevin. I won't attempt their last names either, Kevin. Coming up on this morning, Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the Super Troopers 2 movie. Also, Adam Carolla, and we'll talk to Dennis Hoff. He's the proprietor of the Bunny Ranch. That's all on the way here from K-Rock. First, though, got to take care of some business within the family.
Chip is
awesome.
Awesome.
Agree, Chip. Stupendous.
First of all. Second of all, she told us for many, many years she had a black belt.
It's true.
And she's been lying the whole time.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize that until Allie asked her the name of her trainer.
I believe I said... asked what the technical name of the instructor, what they call him in Taekwondo. And I, at the time, I just couldn't remember what it was because it's been a while.
Right, and you said...
And usually it's called instructors.
Okay.
In the Taekwondo, I
right.
Do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody from South Korea?
No, I said it was a Korean name, a term that I just couldn't remember at the
time. She doesn't know who gave her a black belt. Okay, so she doesn't have a black belt. Let's be honest.
Well, she got it off Etsy, but it's absurd.
Now, wait a minute.
I can get you a good deal on an Etsy black belt.
I wasn't privy to this conversation at all. So Chip does or does not actually have a black belt?
She does not.
I do.
Chip says she does. Okay. All right.
Now... yesterday was the first day we saw the new haircut.
I got it Sunday.
It's a strongly bad choice.
Well, I was in a very awkward position. Do we have a photo, by the way? Are we posting a photo anywhere?
I posted one too. If you go to my, I posted one last night around 9:00.
I posted one just now at the Kevin Ryder and
on Twitter.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now I was in an awkward position because I saw her before you guys did because I get to work a little bit earlier than you do. So I saw Chip first thing Monday morning and I thought, well, she's clearly been robbed. I mean, there's no question she's been someone knocked her down and beat her and then shaved the side of her head before they left her in a ditch to die. But that's an awkward thing to bring up first thing on a Monday morning. I don't know if it's
still too
raw.
Bean's Mr. Sensitive.
Sure. So both sides of her head are shaved, okay, but then the top was sort of moppish. Like, it was just sort of there and hanging. I don't know. How would you describe?
Well, here's the thing.
Because I understand what she was going for.
On Monday, I said, oh, cute hair. You got a haircut. Tuesday was different.
Because?
Not sure. It just didn't look the same. It didn't look as styled, maybe?
Here's what it did. Because, like, you're trying. I have different hair products you use, and the one yesterday, because of taking on headphones, putting on headphones, everything, it didn't hold longer than half an hour. So by 6:30, my hair was a mess.
I got news for you. It was a mess by 5:30 when I got here. That's when I took the picture. I was like, "What are you doing?"
Being awesome.
That's your interpretation?
Yep.
It's tough for, isn't it super tough for girls, though, to keep a hairstyle that works for them, that everybody likes?
Yeah, and you guys have known me I've been here 5 years, and I've had short hair for about 10.
Right.
And, yeah, it's one of those things where you stick with that style, and at some point I'm like, I just want to try something different.
Yeah,
and I'm okay
you want to mix
with,
it up, I get that.
I want to mix it up, and I'm okay with, if it doesn't work, I think it works, you guys are wrong, but...
I think it's cute.
All right, here's
Thank
the
you,
thing.
Allie.
You're welcome.
Here's the thing. Yesterday, and in the photo I posted, it doesn't work. I mean, you know I love you, right?
Yeah.
I love Chip.
And
he's
thick.
One of my favorite people here. That was terrible yesterday. Now, today you've got a lot more product in it. It looks great.
See?
But that angers me because that Chip does make bad decisions.
You were legitimately
I was mad.
I think he's going to, like, punch me.
Yeah.
He was so mad.
Why does your hair look okay today?
What the hell, Chip?
I was very upset because Chip makes bad decisions.
Chip's a bad decision.
Make up.
Chip's a bad decision.
Make up.
Chip's a bad decision.
Make up.
Her decision sucks.
I think that was Dylan's Crossbow who made that.
It's so interesting the different perspectives we have on this because Allie is just being so supportive. Hey, I'm with your sister, whatever you need to do.
Nice.
I just felt sorry for Chip because clearly she's going through some sort of emotional trauma, and I don't want to begin to get into whatever's really like making her so, so sad. And Kevin is legitimately angry like you would be at somebody who's trying to grow a mustache and can't. It just infuriates you that somebody is looking so bad on purpose.
You know what? It didn't infuriate me as much as I just loved how bad it was. That really brought me joy.
It brought me a lot of joy. Here's the thing as men that you don't realize about short hair.
Okay. Yes, tell us.
Short hair needs to be styled.
Okay.
You don't just leave the house with short hair. People are like, oh, you have short hair, must be so easy. The upkeep of short hair, everything is so much greater than, I mean, I have a ton of hair. I have a mop of hair. I can leave the house in the morning and it looks the same as if I styled it because it's just there. Her hair with her cute little pixie face needs to be spiked.
But that's because with guys, the reason we cut our hair short is so that we literally have to do nothing but just dry it. Like Kevin spends 5 seconds on his hair.
Maybe.
You know?
Well, he has to spray paint it on, so that's a new extra. That's
every other day. But let's get back to Chip. So,
yes, she looks great.
So what, did you shave both sides at the same time?
Yeah, why not? This is America, Kevin.
Well, why not? Because of yesterday. I'm angry that you made it work today. Like, I think it looks great today.
Thank you.
You put a lot of product in it, and it's spiky, and it looks great. But, man, yesterday was just, that was awful.
It was troubling. It was troubling.
It was really rough.
Okay, pigtails.
Chip's a bad decision.
Make up.
Chip's a bad decision.
Make up.
Chip's a bad decision.
Make up.
Her decision sucks.
Why should we be paying either $9.95 or $19.95 a month for yet another new streaming service, this one called Tidal? We'll find out with our friend Joe Levy from Billboard Magazine coming up in about 20 minutes. First, though, we talked about earlier how it was April Fool's Day, and back there was a time where that used to be a big, kind of a big day we'd really look forward to here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but then the man kind of clamped down on us and we're not really allowed to do April Fool's Day pranks anymore. What was your favorite, by the way, Kevin, out of all the ones we did?
Well, maybe the first one, maybe the Tom York one. That's where we met Ralph.
That's right.
He did an impression of Tom York. Radiohead was playing on April 1st in Los Angeles.
At the Universal Amphitheater back in the day. They had a show scheduled for that night. That's right. And we had, quote unquote, Tom York on the air doing an interview with us. And you're right. That was, we kind of like, I think Carolla or somebody said, oh, I know a guy who does great voices. And we had Ralph come in and play the part of Tom York.
And he did a lot of research. So he gave actual answers that Tom York would give. And being about two or three times was super insulting because he's got a little bit of a lazy left eye or right eye. So Bean's like, oh, yeah, which eye should I look at? You know, and just little, just to be funny, just a little. And then a fight broke out, and then he went to the hospital. We had this whole elaborate thing, and the show was that night. So everybody was like, oh, what's happening? Did they cancel?
Is he going to be there?
How can you guys do that? You guys are dicks. Why would you say that? And then the record label called and goes, how did he get on your show without us knowing? It was insanity.
And as much fun as that was, we wouldn't be allowed to do that exact same thing today because, God forbid, somebody hears something on the radio that isn't true. So it's been taken out of the hands of us professionals, with the exception of one man who maybe is the greatest comedian in the history of the world, ladies and gentlemen. He is Sam, the Armenian comedian. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. He's the only guy who can carry the flag of April Fool's Day's pranks. Hey, Sam, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, very good and not too good.
Very good and not too good. All right. Well, first of all, welcome to the show. How's April Fool's Day for you? Is that an important day for you as a comedian?
Yes, very important day because we can fool the comedian as I am. Mm-hmm. I can fool anybody, any trick, any. I'm a hypnotist. I'm a massage therapist. I'm a cosmopolitan.
Okay, I don't know what most of that means, but what do you mean you can prank anybody?
Well, you know, I can, for example, you know, I tell jokes and make fun.
Right.
And I pass my day by laughing, the day go by better.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, I mean, look, you bring joy to everyone around you, Sam. That's one thing we know about you. So I guess my question is, because you're so good at pranking, will you spend the day today just pulling the wool over people's eyes. Like, all day long, everybody who comes in your orbit is going to be a victim of some sort of April Fool's Day prank.
Every day, I act like Borat, you know?
Right.
I'm the Army comedian. I watch me on YouTube and BornHigh.com, and I start saying my rap. I'm born high. I feel high. I'm high forever. I'm going to die high. I don't need to get drunk to get high. I'm born and feel naturally high.
I don't feel like he's answering any of our questions.
Well, give us an example of what you might do to someone as a prank, besides just read your resume to them.
Like, you we had you on the phone, I think it was last week, and you gave us some ideas of prank calls that you might do on April Fool's Day.
Prank calls or prank jokes?
just pick.
All right, let's
do calls. Let's say prank
calls. Let's do calls. Like, is that something that you would do? Would you call someone on the phone and pretend to be somebody you're not, Sam?
Oh, yeah, I can say, hey, I can call a pizza parlor and I want it delivered. But make sure that you put some marijuana in there, you know, like that.
Okay, so you call a pizza place and you say, I'd like the marijuana pizza.
Yeah.
And then...
and then after that...
And then you hang up and laugh with joy?
Yeah, I just hang up and have fun.
Okay, I don't think I can pull that one off. What about another one?
Listen, I haven't done that.
You haven't done it, right?
You haven't done that. Okay, so that's a good one. All right, do you have... anything at all that you would like to tell us about a prank that you might play on someone, or a prank that you have played on someone that was very funny and effective?
Well, listen, on April Fool's Day today, listeners, crank up your horns and put your emergency lights so you fool the one behind you. What's going on?
Okay. All right. So traffic.
And the policemen and firemen and emergency, you know, just honk up your horn.
You have a horn like that?
For nothing.
So try to make traffic worse is what your suggestion is for April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
let's say
when
that
we were kids, you know, last time I told you many crank up things that we do when we were kids. Hey, watch out, there's a spider on your head coming, you know.
S word, though. You know, you remember that from the other 150 times you've been on the air, right, Sam?
Yeah. hey guys, I need your help.
I don't feel like he's really committed to our April Fool's joke.
I don't either.
The topic. I don't believe.
I need your help. I want to have my concert to be done. A breakfast. I've been doing this, and I practiced. I'm releasing another CD. Get on the bus. You don't even give me a chance to do my concert.
All right. Here's what I will say. Here's what I will say to you, Sam.
I need a manager. Tour manager, like System of a Down, or the, you know, Chili Peppers, come on.
You want us to hook you up with the manager of System of a Down?
Yes.
No.
Or a Chili Pepper.
Sam, look, here's what we can do for
you. All these years, I did everything for you guys to make me a hit, and you never done it. You just make crank up jokes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I'm ready to go all over. It's time for me to shine, brothers.
Wait.
Come on.
Hold on a second. Sam, you've been on our show for 20 years. Right?
Yeah, but you
and you're saying to us that we haven't done enough. That's your point. We haven't done enough.
Right.
We've done more for you than we've done for any other comedian in history, Sam.
I know, but I haven't done a TV show that I want to do my own TV show. I haven't
But Sam, we don't have TV shows that we're handing out.
I want to have my own breakfast. Simple as that. You get it?
Okay. Sam, here's what I can offer you. We cannot do a live breakfast with you and your band. We can't do that because we do that with bands that are really, really popular. You know, we do that with, you know, with Jack White, or we do that with you too.
Everybody knows me more than anybody.
That's true. You're the most famous person on earth.
Okay, but here's what we could do though, Sam. Why don't you and your band come down and you can play in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, and we will record it and put it up at krock.com. So it won't be live on the radio, but we can record it and then put it up on the website for people to see all over the world.
Fantastic. That's all I want.
Would that make you happy?
Absolutely.
Saturday.
Saturday, no. You are not there.
Who's finally figured that out. Wow.
We used Saturday
for so long.
We used Saturday on him for 15 years and he bought it. So, Sam, how about that? Get your band together. You guys play here at K-Rock. We record it and put it up on the website. Would you like that?
Who's yelling in the background? What's going on with you?
My wife is yelling at me.
What's she yelling at you for?
Here, hold on.
Well, we don't have
time. We don't have any time. We got to go now. We're done.
What?
Good morning.
Hi, what's going on?
Hi, Mrs. Sam. What's going on?
He just is screaming. He's too loud, and he's demanding. I have to go work, get ready, and my son is sleeping. He just wake up. He's too loud, you know?
He is too loud. No, you're absolutely right about that.
It's tough to argue that.
We apologize. We did not mean to disrupt your home this morning. We're so sorry.
Thank you. It's not your fault. It's his fault.
It is his fault. That's true, too.
Okay. Well, you guys have a wonderful day. Thanks for talking to us.
You too.
Okay. Bye now.
Okay,
I like your breakfast idea, though, Bean.
Right?
We have listeners come down.
Right?
They play. We record it.
Yep.
We put it up online.
I like it, too. Everyone wins.
It's going to be sweet. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Slevin writes to us in the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, hey, you guys remember when Sam, the Armenian comedian, called in a bomb threat to K-Rock and couldn't be on the air for a year?
Yeah.
I hope he does that again.
Those were good times.
Yeah.
Probably the glory days.
We had him on the air and we said, you can't say things like that. And he said, tick tock, tick tock. Now, that's not what you want.
I know people who can put bomb and kill everybody, blow up.
We were it was illegal to contact him for 2 years.
That's right. That was a lonely 2 years for us.
That was a very sad 2 years.
Remember his wife? Talking to his wife when it all went down?
Yeah.
His wife is awesome, by the way. She's so nice.
Smart,
and she's so smart.
Pretty.
And together. Pretty.
She's
absolutely.
It's crazy.
And I'd like to point out, Sam, the Armenian comedian, has a kid.
Yeah.
He's father.
Somebody's dad.
Can you imagine?
Mm. No.
Listen, Allie. Hmm.
6:56, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
This is interesting news. With all the success that landed after Eddie Tremaine played Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything.
Redmayne.
Redmayne. I'm sorry, what did I say?
Tremaine.
Oh, I don't mean that at all. Redmayne. Performed as Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything. Stephen Hawking has decided he's going to apply for a trademark for his name in the UK. So we can start making some money off Stephen Hawking.
Huh.
The trademark covers use of Hawking's name for computer games, greeting cards, healthcare, which I think is hilarious, and powered wheelchairs. Get the new Stephen Hawking 4000.
Well, that makes sense.
I recommend it. I think it is a great wheelchair.
Can we never...
Commercials, imagine...
Can we never talk to you as him again, though? I mean, is
what
that
do you mean
here?
Me as him? We've never talked to me as him.
Oh, it's always been him.
Yeah, it's the real guy, Kevin.
My bad.
Theater of the mind. Nice work.
I think people know.
They don't know. So, he's still ripe for parody, I'm sure. But you can't use his name to make any money without violating a trademark if this goes through.
I don't have any problem with trademarking your name.
I don't either.
That makes sense.
I hope he gets it, and I hope... He's able to cash in. I'd like to see the line of Stephen Hawking greeting cards that they propose in this. I'm walking. You open it up. April Fools. It'd be great. Oh, sad news for Tony Danza.
What happened?
You know, he was starring on Broadway in a Broadway version of the movie Honeymoon in Vegas. Well, apparently the show will close this Sunday after only 93 regular performances. The show never did very well at the box office, and musicals are very expensive, so the producers have decided to pull the plug. I feel bad. I want to give him a hug.
Okay.
I'm going to say, hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Wow.
Nice.
Thank you.
Vile, but well set up.
Thank you. Yeah. The folks working on Pirates of the Caribbean 5 get a little spring break. Production was put on hold yesterday in Australia because of the hand injury to Johnny Depp earlier this month in Queensland. So they still need some time for Johnny to heal up before they can start shooting. The crew was shooting around Johnny's stuff for the past couple of weeks, but finally they've run out of script pages that they can shoot without him being there. So they were told yesterday they won't be working for the next few weeks while Johnny recuperates. So they get a little break mid-production, I'm sure is tough because you uproot your life and a lot of times and you go on location and you're working there. But in the middle of a shoot like this, which is arduous and long and 14, 15, 16-hour days, I bet the crew welcomes a couple weeks off. If they can, I'm sure they're still paying for their upkeep and putting them up in the hotels and everything. So you get a little break in the middle of the shoot. I'm sure some of them are happy.
You're an actor.
Sometimes.
It seems like if you're holding up that many people, you would feel bad. Like, you're sick, whatever. You feel like you would have to get back as soon as possible.
And recently, I just worked with Johnny Depp in Kevin Smith's film, Yoga Hosers. We shot together. And I got to work with all my stuff was with Johnny, and I got to know him just a little bit. But I can tell you, if there's anybody who does feel about it, that guy does.
Wow,
he's such a nice guy, and he must feel really frustrated that he is the cause of this kind of problem. But you can only heal as quick as you can heal. You can't do what he does without his hand. So,
Ralph, I never heard any details about how he injured himself or how serious the injury was. Did you?
Yes, he was. It was offset. And he was visiting a friend of his in Queensland who is a former race car driver who has a miniature race car track on his property, on his home. And I believe they were racing and there was an accident and Johnny hurt his hand.
Wow.
Just effing around, just playing around with this guy's and their miniature race cars. I believe that's the story. And so he needed surgery back here in the States and he came back and he's on the mend. And as soon as he recuperates, they will get back to shooting Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Well, thank God that movie's going forward.
Hey, I like those movies. Stop it.
I do, too. But you never saw one of them.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I gotta take criticism from you after seeing zero movies.
I just find it hard to believe that there need to be five of them.
There does.
Okay.
I just like to have a bit of drama, so. You savvy?
Today's celebrity birthdays, David Oleolu. Oleowo, Eluowo, Ole Eluowo, Ole Oleowo, Ole Ole Oleowo. He's 39 years old today. Taron Killam from SNL is 33. Asa Butterfield, talented young actor, turns 18 years old. And singer Susan Boyle from Britain's Got Talent. Remember her famous song that she did on the Britain's Got Talent? No, I don't. I don't believe.
Like, how is that beautiful voice coming out of that woman?
I don't believe that this was her song that it made all the headlines.
That's not her?
I do not believe, no. Do we have any actual Susan Boyle? No? We'll have to get
that. I have a dream. I have some of that.
Yeah, you have some of that? Great.
Balls.
That's it.
So angry.
Furious now. April Fools. Ha ha.
Wait, you're not mad?
I'm not mad at all.
Oh, you had us.
That's the extent that CBS Radio would let us do a job.
Zoom, zoom.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What do you do with a college basketball player who is foreign born and his actual last name is the four-letter F word? Doesn't mean anything where he's from, but here in America, people are like, hey, you can't put that on the back of a jersey. Hey, you can't put that name in the newspaper.
Is it legally his name?
It's actually legally his given birth name.
Put it right on. Put it on and say it.
You got no problem with that,
yep.
Huh? Well, he did an interview yesterday on what it's like to walk around with the last name of F blank blank blank. So we got highlights of that for you coming up in about 50 minutes. Adam Carolla later on this morning as well. First, though, it was quite an array of stars on stage in New York City on Monday when Jay-Z showed up and Alicia Keys showed up and Chris Martin was there and Nicki Minaj and Kanye West and Beyonce and Madonna, and the list just went on, and they were there to introduce something called Tidal. We've got many questions, and we've got one man who I'm sure has the answers for us. He is our friend Joe Levy. He is the editor-at-large of Billboard magazine, and we welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good to be here. Just a little heads up. I've changed the spelling of my last name legally. This could be a problem.
Oh, no. All right.
So we'll just call you Joe L, I think.
Okay, there we go.
So did we need another streaming service, Joe, or are most of us pretty happy with our Spotify and our YouTube and our Beats Music?
I think a lot of us are pretty, I think those of us who stream music, which is a growing number of us, have been pretty happy. That doesn't mean we couldn't be happier, and it doesn't mean, and this is the main thing, that more people couldn't be, oh, I don't know, paying for streaming music. Spotify's got this freemium service. Jay-Z is out there pushing really a service that you got to pay to use.
Tell us what's different about it.
Well, if you pay more, if you pay twice as much as you pay for Spotify, about $20 a month, you'll get high-definition audio. That's CD-quality audio or lossless music. And that probably doesn't matter if you're listening on your phone.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you is, I mean, what is the market out there for audiophiles when most of us are listening through little earbuds on our phone? I mean, are they greatly misjudging the level of interest in high-fidelity audio?
Well, and here's the real question. Is that really going to be what they're selling? Because they've got a price point that's the same as Spotify. They've got these artists signed on. They are big artists. Kanye is there, Madonna, Nicki Minaj, the Daft Punk robots. Jack White was in the room. It was a big gathering of superstar talent. And if these people were to, say, give their music to Tidal, this new streaming service, first, if this was the only place you could hear the new Kanye record for, say, a week or two, that'd make a difference. People
Absolutely.
Would want to go there to hear that music.
And that would be taking a page out of, like, the Netflix playbook, right? Where if you want to see House of Cards, you've got to have Netflix.
Netflix or maybe the iTunes playbook, because iTunes is also going to be rolling out a new version of Beats Music. Trent Reznor is leading the charge on this, or so we're told. And they're going to be fighting for exclusive music. Because you need a differentiation point. If you've got iTunes, Spotify, and Tidal all serving up the same music to you for about the same price, then you've got to imagine a world in which NBC, CBS, and ABC are all showing the same shows, and what are they going to get you to watch The Voice on ABC instead of NBC?
Right. All right. So exclusives would be one way for Tidal to go, as you mentioned. Give us something that the other services can't offer. Talk to me a little bit, if you would, Joe, about curation, because that seems to be something that everybody seems to be interested in. I mean, you mentioned Beats Music and Apple. They just hired Zane Lowe away from BBC, you know, presumably to do curation. They're talking about a lot of curated playlists on Tidal. Is that a big deal?
The Beats model was definitely the curation human model. What Beats wanted its differentiation point to be was, hey, Pandora, a lot of you like Pandora, but that's an algorithm. It's a robot deciding what kind of music you're going to hear and which music you're going to hear, which I know that you guys would never stand for. You want to sit inside the studio, I've been there, and pick true. What song is going. I've seen you two argue over this.
We are that's what we do, is we pick every single Chili Pepper song we play.
Well, the main thing is any human interaction. You don't get that out of Pandora. Beats wanted to offer you human interaction. There are people who are going to be deciding what kind of music, which music you should hear when. And you know what? I'm not sure it made a difference. Pandora listeners are awfully happy saying, I like, I really enjoy Taylor Swift. Play me some music that sounds like that.
Oh, I like your dumb voice. That's good.
But there is something to be said for, and one of the reasons why radio has survived for 100 years, don't you think, Joe, is that we are a little bit of a gatekeeper, because when all the music in the world is available to somebody at their fingertips, sometimes that's overwhelming and people don't know where to start. So they kind of want somebody who they trust to point them at least in a direction of, hey, these songs are at least have made a cut somewhere and are worth checking out, right?
I'm renewing your contract. You've convinced me.
All right.
Absolutely, that's what people want. People want what they refer to in the industry as a lean back and listen experience. They don't want to go on Spotify, which is a tremendous, it's an awesome music library. But they don't want to go there and browse for the next hour to
it's put too
together
much work.
A great playlist. They're overwhelmed by it. So Pandora, which is pretty much overwhelmingly a winner in the streaming music market, offers a lean back and listen experience. So does Spotify. They've got a radio option as well, personalized radio. That's what people want. Radio, broadcast, terrestrial radio survives partly because of exactly what you're saying and partly because of a little thing that happens in the morning and the afternoon called commuting,
sure.
Which Americans like to do in a car listening to something called a radio.
All right. Explain that more.
Question, no, if I want to get a musical artist that, let's say, Tidal down the line has them exclusively, I can't get to them unless I have the service. Are we not going to see a rise in piracy, which I thought Spotify, iTunes, all of that kind of, there was a drop once they came out?
Yeah, and, you know, it'd be hard to see a big rise in piracy, what with it being so big already, because it is hard to compete with free. I don't think Tidal's going to have a lot of music exclusively, end of story. I don't think it's going to be the only place you can hear Kanye's next record. What they might have is a window on a record, on an artist's record. Because remember, these artists who were there for this announcement, 16, 17 if you count Jay-Z, are owners of this company. They've got a vested interest in it succeeding.
And I was going to ask you about that. Does the average music consumer care who owns the streaming service that they're listening to? Do they care really how the profits are broken down?
The average music consumer probably doesn't care. But the real question is, what can an artist-first company offer you that another service can't? A service led by artists could conceivably offer you exclusive music. And when Jay-Z talks about this, he talks about two things. He talks about restoring the value to music, which, frankly, I agree with. This makes a lot of sense to me. He says people have grown up thinking, there's a whole generation or two out there that's grown up thinking music should be free, but they're going to pay $6 for a bottle of water. Right. And that seems a little crazy. Because you know what? The water out of the tap, it's pretty good.
All right, let me ask you from a different angle, and that is from the speaker angle. Because without good speakers, the sound you won't even appreciate. But what's the market been like? I feel like even the Bluetooth speakers are pretty small and cheap and not great.
Yeah, it's true. The high-definition audio isn't going to be, I don't think, the principal selling point for this new Tidal service. You would need good speakers and good ears in order to hear the difference. Now, Twitter is full of people saying, I signed up for, full. You can find them at any rate.
Sure.
But there are people out there saying, hey, I signed up for the high-definition service and I can hear the difference already. There's a scientific term for that. It's called confirmation bias. You think you're getting something better, so it sounds better to you straight away. If you've got great speakers, if you love high fidelity, then sure, this could be a great way for you to get streaming music, but you probably want to listen to everything on vinyl anyway.
All right, great points as always. Joe Levy, editor-in-large of Billboard magazine. Again, it's called Tidal, T-I-D-A-L, if you want to check it out. It'll be interesting to see what the landscape of streaming looks like a year or 5 years from now, won't it, Joe?
Yeah, it will be. Streaming is here to stay, and the streaming wars are heating up.
Thanks for your time, sir. Always enjoy having you on the program.
Good to be here.
Next hour, we're giving you your tickets in the Kevin and Bean Party Bus section for April Foolishness this Saturday night. Do you already know a bunch of the people who are going to be on the bill, including Fluffy and Tenacious D are going to be there, and Jay Moore and Brad Williams and so much more? But there's one slot open, Kevin. What are we going to do about opening the show?
We have an opening act contest. The top 10 are at kevinandbean.com. Kelsey Cook, J.R. DeGuzman, Jeff Keith, Michael Lenoci, Dan Madonia, Nick Morton, Ivan Pichel, Eddie Pence, Kat Radley, and Dean Wolf. And you go there, and there's only 2 minutes each. So you just watch them and vote for who you want to open the show.
Yeah, do that. Help us pick an opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's since 2015, and also introduce yourself to some terrific local comedians, because they are all great. I mean, it was tough narrowing it down to just 10. We had so many great entries. So we'll see the winner on Saturday night. All right, I told you that this was coming. This is a college basketball player who is Brazilian. He's playing ball the last 2 years in Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada.
The home of true basketball.
His last name is the four-letter F word that none of us can say on the radio. You say that because it's his actual legal last name, even though it means something different in English, he should be allowed to put it on his jersey. Right?
Yeah.
You'd have no problem.
I mean,
with that.
It's his legal name, right?
Right, it's his legal name.
So I don't know what they do about that. It is his name. It's spelled F-U-C.
Right. Know. Would you wear a jersey of his?
In a second.
You would walk around
the jersey
town
now
with the F word on your back.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's find out what it's been like for Guy Fouki. He has been playing basketball for 2 years, and only recently was he allowed to actually start using his last name on the back of his jersey. The first 2 years, they would not allow it. They used his middle name on his jersey, but he appealed to the Canadian Collegiate Athletic Association, and now he can use his last name. And he talked about in an interview with CBC recently about what it's been like for him. And the first question he was asked is, was your name a problem back when you lived in and played basketball in Brazil, where you're from?
No, not really, because back in Brazil doesn't really mean anything. So it's just, and my last name is a German heritage, so back in Brazil doesn't mean anything, so people just call me Fuki.
So, in other words, he's running around in Brazil, and he has Fuki on his back, and that just doesn't, it's not a word. That it's, you know, different language, different meaning. How about in Germany? What does the name even originally mean?
I believe that in German, Fuki means fox, because fox in German is F-U-C-H, or F-U-C-H-S. So when he goes to Brazil, they change a little bit. Yeah, when I went to U.S., I played in a very small city, and my coach talked with me, and he said, so to avoid community conflicts, let's go by just your first last name, okay? I said, well, okay. And then he thought it would be better if I didn't use my last name, just because maybe people not accept as well as in Medicine Hat. I understand, because in U.S. and in Canada or in English speaker countries, it does mean something else, right?
Right.
I understand, even though I didn't accept, because it's my last name. I'm proud of it. It doesn't matter if it means something bad or something like that, but I accepted just because I was new in U.S. It was my first time there, new experience. But when I went to Canada, I was make sure that I wanted to show my last name, and I'm proud of it, and I want everybody to know and know the history, know that doesn't mean what it thinks it means, you know?
Do you imagine that there are some people, Kevin, who the concern would be, I don't want to have to explain to my children why this guy is running around with the F word on his back? Like, a lot of parents will try to shield their children from that word, right?
I guess.
I feel like most of the outrage in a story like this comes from people who are afraid it's going to be a problem for other people. They're not actually offended by this.
Yeah. Come on. Give me a break. You say to your kid, listen, he has a last name
that's funny.
Means
that's
something.
What you say.
Well, that's Kevin's parenting. Or you use it as a teachable moment about what people have as names. You bring it over, and sometimes they change the spelling. Sometimes they give you a totally different last name. That's what happened. Make it a little history lesson.
But I have to tell you, reading the articles about Guy, it is so shocking just to see in a newspaper, to see the F word in a headline. Yeah. I don't know. I guess
that's
we're just
so like
commissioned
it.
To being a friend. All right. So, Kevin, would you enjoy that last name?
If I had it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
all
I
right.
would.
Here's the real question for anybody who's ever had a terrible name. Would you inflict it on your children?
Well, I mean, in his case, it doesn't mean anything, so I imagine he would.
Yeah.
It's also a last name, so that's sort of how it goes.
Here's his answer, by the way, to one of the reasons why he's so proud of his last name and how he plans on keeping it alive.
No. I want to have kids. I want to spread the Fuki last name.
Yes. Yes, he does.
He gives no Fuki.
He gives no Fuki at all. Exactly.
He's just used his middle name, which is Puto, I think.
If you've not yet seen our friend Adam Carolla's film Road Hard, then what are you doing with your life? First of all, you're no friend of mine. Second of all, there's no excuse, because it's available everywhere on all digital and VOD platforms, including premiering today on DirecTV. See Adam Carolla's Road Hard. Adam's got a new movie coming out, by the way, that he told us about last week, called Winning: The Racing Life of Paul Newman. And that has a very special event happening, an L.A. screening next Thursday night at the El Capitan Theater. Adam, this sounds star-studded, my friend. This sounds like you're going to raise a lot of money for charity, and it sounds like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of cool people from the racing community, and Jimmy's going, although he's just walking next door, so really it's not much of an effort on his part. Patrick Dempsey, guys like that, a lot of celebrities, and all the money's going to charity. So
that's great. And how are we going to see Winning: The Racing Life of Paul Newman? Is that going to be on demand as well, just like Road Hard?
Yeah, it'll be out, I think, May 22nd, and it'll be the same thing, all the same platforms.
Fantastic.
He's
all right,
Adam is actually a wheeler and dealer now.
Yeah, he's become a movie mogul. Yeah. He really is. I mean, I used to just think of him as the guy with the mangria. Now he's an actual movie studio. It's insane to keep up with this guy. You can get all the details on both films, the podcast, and Catch a Contractor as well, of course, and live appearances at adamcarolla.com. Each week about this time, Mr. Carolla joins us for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, we'll start with three and going down. Oh, really?
Nope. Wow. Kevin gave you a pretty short leash today, man.
No, I just hit the wrong button. You're on. You go.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm driving to Rancho Cucamonga to catch a contractor, so I will admonish all the children out there, don't rant and drive.
Okay. Good advice.
Here goes. All right. I've had a very long couple of months, and I went in last Saturday, and I got myself a nice soothing massage. I recommend it highly, except for one problem. The Asian broad who was giving me the soothing massage was trying to work out the many knots that have gathered in my back with her elbow.
Yeah.
Have you guys had that thing where they get that? There's like a golf ball somewhere between your shoulder and your spine, and they're trying to work it out with their elbow?
Well, I mean, they're doing it because they're trying to make you feel better. They're not doing it to hurt you. You know that.
I get it, but it's excruciatingly painful, number one. And number two, how about this? Turn down the Enya music and blow out the lavender candle. Because you are essentially waterboarding me with your elbow while I'm listening to Enya and smelling the lavender candle. And all I'm saying is, let's just call it what it is. It's a torture chamber. Fine, you're trying to help me, but I've never been in more pain in my life, and it's flying in the face of Enya and the candle. How about you just play some guar and light a truck tire?
Maybe you're not a good candidate for massage. I'm going to take a stab at him and say maybe no.
I'm saying don't. I don't want to smell Enya.
Sure.
I want to smell Camille. Sorry. I do want to smell Enya. I don't want to hear Enya smell lavender when I'm reeling in pain. It makes me hate lavender and Enya.
So it should all match. That makes sense.
Massage, or call it what it is and play guar.
I like it.
All right. Here's a hypothetical for everybody. Really give it some thought.
Okay.
Who has had less sex in the last 5 years, Bill and Hillary, or Oprah and Stedman?
All right, wait, though. With each other?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
I mean, because Bill. What?
Yeah.
With each other.
With each other.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I think it's
each
a.
Other.
I think there's only one answer, and I think we'll all be in agreement that it's a dead, even, 0-0 tie.
Big tie. Goose eggs. We believe in 5 years. These two couples who live together have not had sex once. Is that
yes.
what we believe?
Yes, I think
probably.
So. That's, Kevin,
yeah.
What do you think?
I would say that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
That's insane that we think that, right? They're both doing a horrible job of projecting their affection for one another. If we all could agree that in the last 5 years, Bill has not been in Hillary once, and same with Stedman, right?
I would like to guess how long it's been since Bill and Hillary, because I think it's been way
more
over
than five. Yeah,
yeah, it's been like 15 years.
Maybe college.
So you think they have Lady O and Stedman beat?
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yep. And do you think it's a decade?
Oh, yeah. For Bill and Hillary, yeah.
Well, how old is Chelsea?
Easy.
But I also think, Adam, they're probably fine with that. I don't think that either any of the four people that you mentioned are pining for their partners. I don't think they're sitting around sad because they're not having sex with those people. I think that they're delighted that that's the way it turned out, because that's not what they're around for.
All right. But then can we potentially elect a president who hasn't been laid in a decade? I feel like they'd make a lot of bad decisions.
Oh, so this could be a black mark against Hillary Clinton as a presidential candidate. That's what your concern is now. I see.
If I hadn't been laid in a decade, first order of business, bomb China, then Germany, then France, then Utah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know about Utah, but yeah. So it sounds like Mrs. Clinton needs to get something going with the pool boy before she gets seriously too far into the race.
All right. Well, somebody's going to have to take one for the team. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, America.
All right. And number one, my radar detector's going off. Number one, I don't know if you guys, something I've been complaining about for a million years. McDonald's not keeping the breakfast menu past 10:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're doing it now.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
I did not know that.
They are back. They're serving that. There's nothing worse than being hungover on a Sunday wanting that egg McMuffin or sausage McMuffin.
That's true.
And it's not available. Well, they're doing it, but they're doing it for a trial basis only and only in the San Diego area.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well, I mean,
hold on, I'm pissed.
Okay.
The egg McMuffin and sausage McMuffin has been around. I used to work at McDonald's when I was in high school. I used to have to make egg and sausage McMuffin. They've been around 30 years at least. Do we need a trial on whether hungover people want an egg McMuffin at noon on a goddamn Sunday?
So what you're saying is the evidence is in. Go ahead and roll it out nationwide, stat.
That because people have been begging for this for 30 years. People have been pulling up to the. You have all the evidence you need. It's people sitting in the drive-thru crying into a speaker. I'll perform oral on you if you give me an egg McMuffin. I know it's 10:36. Please get those eggs out. I got to drive to El Cajon to get an egg McMuffin. McDonald's, you've done the experiment. Now, look.
Oh, we lost all right, we lost Mr. Carolla, but I think his point is well taken. We love McDonald's. We love McDonald's breakfast. It's time to quit fooling around and just make it available everywhere, all the time, always. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the details and all the great stuff going on in the Ace Man's world, including Road Hard, available on DirecTV starting today and all digital VOD platforms, and get all the details on how you can meet the stars of winning the racing life of Paul Newman next Thursday at the El Capitan. AdamCarolla.com.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
Couple of the Broken Lizard guys, Jay Chandrasekhar and Kevin Heffernan. Ah, so close. I think it's Heffernan.
Yeah.
Of course, talking about Super Troopers 2, which is going to be made very soon. They're joining us right at the top of the hour here on K-Rock, and your chance to win tickets up close at Kevin Means April Foolishness at the Shrine this Saturday. That's all next hour here on K-Rock. Now, Rob's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday.
Movie news. Tons of movie news breaking this week. First of all, just to give you a heads up, let's see how well their predictions are.
Okay.
Or how well they do with their predictions. The industry, in general, is saying Furious 7 this weekend, in its debut, should bring in what they're guessing $115 million.
Wow.
For the weekend.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, indeed, Kevin.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just, that's
if that's
not
true, it'll make it the highest grossing opening weekend for a movie ever, beating out last year's Captain America the Winter Soldier, which made $95 million in its first weekend.
Wow. A huge opening in 60, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, those are crazy numbers.
They're expecting it to bust $100 million for the first weekend.
Well, Kevin, they've got your money, I'm sure, right? There's tons of louds in Fast and Furious.
So many louds there, Uncle. First of all, car loud, gun loud, people yell loud. Good, all good, loud. My three favorite louds.
What that guy just said.
Yeah.
Well, remember, Ralph, it's on its way to winning the best picture at the Academy Awards next year as well.
According to Vin.
I want a good movie.
All right. How about a prequel for the 1974 horror classic, Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
A prequel?
They're in the works of a movie called Leatherface, which will show the backstory of Leatherface.
Hmm.
Leatherface is a young teenager. It's like Gotham for Leatherface. Leatherface Smallville, who escapes from a mental hospital with three other inmates, kidnaps a young nurse, and then nothing good happens when they get the young nurse, I'm guessing, with old Leatherface.
Could be fine.
It's so funny because I would think Madonna would be upset that they're using her trademark nickname for this film. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll be here all week.
Well done.
Clint Eastwood is also working on a new film about Olympic security guard Richard Jewell. Remember when you torched him, Kevin? Remember when you tortured Richard Jewell, who was innocent? Do you remember that?
We didn't really torture him, but we went to those Olympics when that happened.
I remember, and then you tortured him.
Well, we didn't torture.
Were you didn't outside you stand his out home? In front of his home screaming, "You're a murderer, you're a murderer"?
Were you outside his home taunting him?
We were outside his home. But we weren't yelling, "You're a murderer." We were asking other people that lived there if he ate kids.
What?
That's what was happening because he was fat. And we thought that was funny.
Yeah. Turns out Richard Jewell was innocent.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything to do with it.
Cleared of all charges after that bomb went off at the Olympics.
I've never seen more press at anything that I've ever been at. I mean, there were hundreds of people out there.
Well, you were helping. You were helping the situation.
I was doing my part.
By taunting him in front of his own home, an innocent man. That
Kevin,
was you.
God damn it.
That was what you did. What if that'll be in the new movie?
And not even taunting about what he did.
Right,
taunting
making stuff up.
A whole other
eating
situation.
Children. Like he's a character from a Brothers Grimm fairy tale.
What is wrong with you?
Oh Allie.
We don't have that kind of time.
That's what I was just going to say.
I hope they let Kevin play himself in the film.
I do too. He'll say, "Excuse me. Zoom, zoom."
Zoom, zoom.
You know who's going to play Richard Jewell?
Kevin James.
No.
That's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
Eric Stone Street.
No, also, that would be such good casting, but that's not going to happen.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Jamie Foxx, yes. Jamie Foxx.
Oh, I got it.
They're changing his color
for
the film.
Why not?
Just to make it more interesting.
Yep.
Yes, Pete.
Jesus.
Nope. Jesus was offered the role.
Pass.
But had to pass because he's obviously occupied otherwise.
Who would be a good
Jonah
person?
Hill. Jonah Hill.
Oh, perfect. That's good casting, too.
I think so, too. And you were funny. You mentioned Jesus. There's a new religious film in the works. Apostle Paul, who is my favorite of all the apostles. More than Apostle John, Apostle George, or Apostle Ringo. But Apostle Paul, of course, was one of Jesus' disciples. Went on to write 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Founded many churches. Hugh Jackman will reportedly star as Paul.
All right. It's a pretty big name.
So you got that going for you. We were talking about movies, by the way, earlier, and I mentioned that the Pirates of the Caribbean 5 production has just shut down for at least 2 weeks because Johnny Depp is still healing up from that accident he had there in Queensland, the shooting in Australia. Judah Dorn wrote in with this email. I heard you speaking about Pirates of the Caribbean 5 and its production being shut down. I'll have you know that I have a friend on the crew, and you're absolutely right. The whole crew is happy to stop shooting, not only because of the logistical difficulties of working around Johnny, but the fact that his great personality and winning attitude make everybody on a difficult set happy. My friend says with Johnny being gone, the grueling 14-hour days are almost unbearable. It turns out, you can't shoot pirates without Johnny. 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 That's Judah Dorn right there, gave us that little nugget.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, indeed, Judah Dorn. Is that going to be our new catchphrase here on the Kevin
Beach
Show?
I think so.
Zoom. We're getting T-shirts made up. Kevin Beach Show. Zoom, zoom.
Well, as long as it replaces, I'll be fine.
No, that's forever.
Celebrity birthdays. Asa Butterfield's 18 years old today. Taron Killam from SNL is 33. David Oliowo is 39 years old today. And singer Susan Boyle, we've been talking about her. She was on Britain's Got Talent, made her a superstar. She went on to sell millions of records because she came out looking like a frumpy, old, weird little cat lady. And then she opened her mouth, and this is what happened on that show. The judges were crying.
Standing up. It was crazy.
If you ever see that video, it'll give you chills even to this day if you watch that video. Seeing this odd little socially awkward woman step out on stage and just belt out that song and watch an entire room full of people lose their minds.
And do you also remember, Ralph, that Simon was practically just rolling his eyes in disdain
openly.
When she stepped onto the stage.
Yes, he was obviously mocking her, and then that happened. And she went on to become an international superstar. She's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First things first, why is Jay a slacker?
Indian guys are always late. That's the way it works.
Right. I hadn't heard that about Indian guys.
Yeah, it's Indian guys are that way.
Yeah.
The brown man is late. That's the way it works.
So he's on Mumbai time. That's what's happening right now.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, there he is.
Hey. Hey. love that.
We just got a few Indian jokes in, and then he's here. God. Okay.
Too bad.
We were just slandering you, Jay. Hey, let me introduce the guys officially. They are going to be in Super Troopers 2. They are members of Broken Lizard. They are Jay Chandrasekhar and Kevin Heffernan, and they join us here on the Kevin Abbey Show.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome. Now, Jay, we had you in not long ago for your Amazon show, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, you had me in for really, and I very much appreciate it.
Good to have you back, and it's great to have Kevin in as well. This, this world of Indiegogo and Kickstarter and all the ways that people are raising money and the crowdfunding, it's so remarkable when a story comes along that is just such an unbelievable, incredible success, and you go, wow. I mean, I know how I reacted when I saw it. I was shocked at how much money you guys raised. Tell me what it was like, what it's been like for you guys to see the response. Like, how many people can possibly care about goddamn Super Troopers?
I know it, right? I mean, it's awesome. Well, I think it's weird because Super Troopers lends itself to that, because Super Troopers was such like a grassroots movie. Like, people didn't go see it in the theaters necessarily. You know, they passed it around to each other.
Right.
And so when you decided to start trying to do this, to raise dough for it, try to make the movie, this crowdfunding thing seemed to be the perfect thing because you could go right to that grassroots base and try to help you make the movie.
So you did that for Super Troopers 2, and you asked for what and you got what?
So we went out to Super Troopers and Indiegogo. We asked for a threshold, like a minimum of $2 million, to get us kind of started, get us rolling. And we hit that in 24 hours.
Hours?
Yeah. And so now we're at 3.1. And, you know, the more we can raise, the better movie we make, obviously. And so we're just going to keep going for 30 days and see where we get to.
Now, can you guys make the movie you want for $3 or $4 million? Is that all it takes to make a film like this?
No, not really.
Good. All right, good. It's a good start.
So what's the plan? Do you take this? Do you take this, as Kevin said, and get the ball rolling, and then you go to a movie studio and say, "Look, we've already got $4 million. You only have to dump in a couple of more million to make it work."
Well, Fox has agreed to release the film wide if we can come up with the money.
Okay,
they own the rights to the first one, so we have to go through them.
And we've made now, I think this will be our fourth independent film, and so we know some people who are, you know, who invest in this kind of thing. But ultimately, we need to really sort of rev up this Indiegogo number as high as we can, just to show Fox, hey, there's a real demand for this. We're going to put this out really wide. And the compounding situation will be that, you know, investors are already starting to call. But it's really like this big sort of, you're trying to make this big sort of flashing light and show Hollywood that, yeah, people really want to see this movie. And the more people who give, the more that's clear.
Who came up with the number $2 million when you started it?
We have consultants that deal with
they're
that.
They're bad. Because you got that in 24 hours.
I know. But the thing is, if we said we wanted $10 million and then we only got like $100,000, then we look like idiots. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Right.
That's true. You shattered expectations the way you did it.
That's correct.
So I'm fascinated with how the movie business works. And I know it's changed a lot, even since you guys have been making films over the last, you know, 15, 20 years or something like that. But there's studios aren't making a lot of low-budget comedies. Like that's not even a category that exists for the most part anymore, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they don't necessarily – it's kind of very big-budget, like superhero movies. Or
like
nothing,
the Avengers
really.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Is where you are right
now. Or a Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie, something like that will get made that cost a ton of money and then they hope makes a ton of money. But movies like yours, it just doesn't seem like it made much anymore. The smaller movies all seem to be indie movies, and I mean by that, you know, serious movies or, you know, dramas.
Yeah, and I mean that's what Jay was talking also is like we do have to impress upon the studio that it's worthwhile to put this movie out, you know. When we made Super Troopers, nobody really saw it in the theater. I mean, there was a pretty good showing in the theater, but they didn't make their money in the theater.
Right.
They made their money passing around and people on DVDs. And now DVDs, that market doesn't even exist anymore. Like nobody goes and buys DVDs anymore.
Right.
So the numbers crunchers can't figure out like what this movie's going to do or how it can make it. And so now we have to go prove to them that this is how you do it.
But they were shocked by how big the response was.
First time you went, all right, $2 million, 24 hours.
Yeah, they were shocked.
Yeah, they were shocked.
Did you say suck it?
Yeah.
Anything like that?
Yeah.
They're our distribution partners.
Oh, so no. So no then.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah.
As you guys mentioned, you have made a bunch of other movies. Of course, Beer Fest. I think a lot of our listeners know Club Dread. People know. Why did you want to revisit the Super Troopers cast?
It's fun to have a mustache.
I gotta be honest, I didn't see that answer coming.
And I can't grow one in real life, so it's good to have one in a movie.
You walk around with a cop belt and a gun and a crew cut. It's the closest thing to being a superhero you can get. I mean, you literally can put your hand up on any highway and everyone will just stop.
So it's the facial hair.
Yeah.
And fake. And a uniform.
And a uniform. Yeah. That's why you want to make
it. It's empowering.
And the fake power. And the fake power.
All right. Now, I hope you're allowed to answer this question. Maybe this is top secret information. But if you end up making the movie, and it looks like you will, do you have any idea what you want it to be? What is like, is there a script?
Oh, yeah.
We wrote the script. The script is written. We've done like 15 drafts.
Oh, that part's already done. Okay.
Yeah. We're ready to roll. We're ready to go. And
I thought maybe now the pressure was on and you're like, oh, man, we got to make a movie.
Like, what do we do now, right? Yeah. No. We're ready. We want to shoot this summer. So that's the whole
All
point.
Right. Before we take a break with our guests from Broken Lizard, Jay and Kevin are here. Let's go to Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer in the other room. You asked for $2 million. I think we're, what, about 8-9 days in now?
Yeah.
Dave, what's the total right now for Super Troopers 2, please?
Right now they are up to 3-1-4-1-9-2-3.
Just say pie.
I think that's pie. You're right. I think that is pie.
I don't know why that happens, but that's how he
that's
reads
how he does
numbers.
Does he
not understand how millions and thousands work?
He doesn't say 3 million.
Oh, really? Okay.
Three Dave, I'm sorry. Could I hear it again, Dave?
Okay, let me rephrase that. It's 3-1-4-1-9-2-3.
Much better.
Bingo!
Much better, thank you.
Really. All right, sounds like we haven't done anything.
We'll talk more Super Troopers 2 with our guests right after this on K-Rock. We are talking about the upcoming Super Troopers 2 with Jay Chandrasekhar and Kevin Heffernan in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are part of Broken Lizard along with their compadres in the film. Super Troopers 2, we hope, is going to be coming back soon. Here's a little clip from the Indiegogo video urging us to give money and why.
What's up, fatso?
Farva.
Why the hell you pulled me over? We're prepping to shoot a sequel. Gotta get in pullover shape. Cream, we're making a sequel?
Well, yeah. By we, he meant us, you know, because it's like the title of the film is Super Troopers 2, Thorny and Red.
Sounds like a rom-com. Is Hugh Jackman in it? Hugh's great Ben Helsing. Fine, I'll make my own sequel. Super Troopers 2, Farva's got a huge no stuntman in that movie.
There you go. Kevin, do you love Farva?
Oh, my God.
He's like, fun, right?
He was totally, like, to put the get the mustache going again and get back into that jerk's body. Unbelievably. It's like you can say anything. Like, you can be the biggest jerk, and you can say anything. It's hysterical.
Just gives you a license.
But you spent so much time in the trunk, though.
I know it. I'm still in the trunk. Well, Favre's in the trunk. I'm not in the trunk. Favre's in the trunk, yeah.
Something I love about what you guys are doing, not only are you doing the great perks, like be the best man at the wedding, you guys will all fly out. Come get high with us in Colorado. Yeah, right. Wonderful. But something that I think is lost a lot of the times is you pay to get a movie made, you donate, and then when the movie comes out, you're like, hey, let me shell out another $10 to see this movie I paid for.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the backlash comes from in these kind of crowds.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, that's been the case. You fund the movie, and then you have to go buy a ticket when it comes out. And so we kind of tried to figure out how to fix that, and we ended up partnering with Fandango, that online ticket service. And so if you fund this movie, I don't know what the exact number is. I think the minimum is like $35 and up, you'll get a ticket to the movie at your local theater. So
that's pretty cool.
And that goes towards the box office. So it's like you can spend money, buy your ticket, and we can use the money to make the movie.
That is the Fandango Bango package.
That's right. Fandango Bango.
That's smart.
Right.
Nice.
That's good.
Speaking of the packages for the Indiegogo, I know you have autographs and visits to the set. What's the one? There's usually one thing that's a crazy amount of money, like you get to be in the movie or something like that. Do you have anything like that?
We put up for $35,000, we put up you could own the Super Troopers patrol car. And somebody bought it in the first day.
No.
Really?
For $35,000, they bought this patrol car that we're going to use in the movie. It's like a dude who's like a car collector in like Chicago, and he wanted to own the Super Troopers police car. And
wow.
So he did it. So he got it. Went immediately.
But we also did sell 2 slots in the movie where you can come in the movie and yell a line out, and, you know, you'll be in the movie.
Now, what's that going to cost me?
Do you know what that costs?
I don't know.
$1 million. Seems a little steep, but okay.
There's someone out there who'll do it. Some hedge fund guy will do it. Come on.
What's the time frame like? I know you have 24 days left on the campaign. What's your hope for shooting this thing and getting this thing out?
Well, you know, if everything goes perfectly, we'll start shooting in July, and we'll shoot July, August, and then it'll take about 6 months to finish it up and hopefully come out in the spring or summer next year.
What does everything go perfectly mean?
Well, I got to get cast. Like, I think the big thing is casting, so we got to go out and get other better actors than us to be in the movie with us.
Well, that won't take long. Right.
And then, you know, but the better actors are always booked. The better actors are always booked.
So
it's all schedule, you know, so we'll try to figure that out. We got like, you know, our captain in the movie played by Brian Cox. He's a busy dude. You know, he's always working on something.
Go sure. Big. Yeah.
So.
Did you guys notice in our remaining moments here with Jay and Kevin on the Kevin Bean Show, again, talking about Super Troopers 2, just go to Indiegogo and type in Super Troopers and it'll come up. Was it noticeable as the movie gained in cult popularity and started to be showed on cable and on iTunes and stuff like that? Like, could you feel that on the street when you guys were going out? Like, you were getting recognized more and more for the original Super Troopers as the years went on?
Yeah. I mean, and it was mostly in blue-collar places initially. I mean, like, for example, we could suddenly get into every single bar in the country.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's a nice
thing. I mean,
those
big rope lines are like, you guys, yeah. Come on in.
But it was a slow burn, which is weird, though, because like, it was years. Like, it wasn't when the movie in the theaters. And then like, a couple years after DVD, I remember we were all walking up the street in New York City one time, and the five of us were together, and we walked by some bar, and the bartender ran down, and he goes, you're the Super Troopers guys. And we said, yeah, yeah. He said, come on in, drink on me. And so we went in, and that's one of the first times we realized that there were people who liked the movie and they wanted to hang out.
Wait a minute. People like that?
Yeah. We can get free drinks out of this? Awesome.
What about law enforcement? You get out of tickets?
Well, that's been the beauty thing of this thing. Yeah. I mean, Kevin was driving down to San Diego for the Padres game. We were going to throw out the first pitch, and he was late.
Yeah.
And he was doing like 95 on the 405.
Like you do.
And he got pulled over.
Yeah.
And then the guy realized who he was, and he said, can I give you an escort to the game, sir?
No. Yeah.
He did. And then I said, no, it's cool. It's
you
all right.
Win.
I know. And I went to the game, and I got to the game, and some local cop walked up to me, and he goes, thank God you made it. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, it went out over the radio. That farmer got pulled over. And we just wanted to make sure you got to the game okay. And I'm like, okay, that's great.
That's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
How did your first pitch go?
I did all right. The first time I ever did it, I bounced it. But then that time I made sure that I would nail it.
I failed twice.
Did you?
Already twice.
Like, did you bounce it?
I bounced it the first time. The second time I bounced it and fell on my face.
Okay. Oh. You did?
Yes.
I almost did too because that's how I screwed up because I wore flip-flops the first time.
Good thinking.
And you can't do that. You can't throw that pitch in flip-flops.
No.
Well, the mound is too slippery for
that. It's too slippery and whatever. So I learned my lesson. I wore cleats the next time.
But Kevin, one of the times that you fell, maybe it was the time you fell down at Dodger Stadium.
Was
it that same night? Didn't they have like a bunch of veterans were out there and a guy ahead of you threw a ball? He had like one leg and one arm, and he like nailed it like a perfect strike.
There was a veteran out there, and Bean's right. Like, he was missing limbs. And everybody was like giving him a huge ovation, and rightfully so. And he goes out and throws a strike, and I go to Bean, I have to follow that guy?
Right.
There's no way to win in that situation.
That's when you walk.
I should have walked.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we're out of time. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you very much.
Phenomenally successful Indiegogo campaign, and I know there's going to be a huge audience for this film. Just go to Super Troopers in Indiegogo.com and you can contribute. And like you said, there's all sorts of great perks and everything like that. It sounds like you guys are got it all together, man. It sounds like it's going to be a great movie. And thanks so much for coming in and telling us about it.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's open the phones. We're going to give away some tickets for April Foolishness in the Party Bus section. If you want to go, you don't need to know anything. Call now and we'll tell you how to play the game next. That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9.
We should talk about that.
Nope.
Would you like to share that with the class, Kevin?
No can do.
This Saturday night, it's Kevin and Bean's sold out April Foolishness 2015. Oh, my God, what a great show it's going to be. Our friends in Tenacious D, Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams, house music by DJ Mike Realm, and the opening act. You can still go to krock.com and vote for who you would like to see open the show. But we'd like to give away a pair of tickets right now in the Party Bus section. It includes the VIP reception with the Kevin and Bean Show, limited edition Party Bus section t-shirt, and VIP parking with a game that we like to call Laugh-A-Rokey.
So gangster. gangster.
This,
yeah.
This is, gangster. I'd like to say up front that this is the jankiest contest we do.
This is
low rent heaven right here.
Let's welcome DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
To the studio. Now, you kind of explained it in the jingle there, but what is Laugh-A-Roki all about? Oh, we've got contestants on the line for you. What are you going to have them do?
So, you know how I'm the Omar-Roki guy who I usually sing songs?
Yeah.
So now we're going to do famous laughs. So they could be comedians, people from TV shows, cartoon characters, people who have really recognizable laughs. That's who I'm going to be impersonating.
And I will give you a hint that none of them are playing foolishness, so it's not that kind of contest where you're trying to, you know, identify the comedians that we have. These are just famous people that are known for their laughs.
They're known for their laughs.
Omar is going to try and recreate their laugh, and then you have to tell us. If you get it right, you go into a drawing, and then someone wins.
Laugh-A-Roki.
Okay.
Yep.
It's a terrible contest.
Well, let's see how it goes. It might not be terrible.
It's a terrible.
There are a lot of people who are recognizable for their laughs, so let's just see how we go here. Who's up first?
All right, let's go to Dennis in North Hollywood. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
Dennis, you know what you're trying to do here, right? Omar's going to impersonate a celebrity laugh. You tell us what celebrity he's doing, right?
Yes.
All okay.
Right. Here we go.
All right, I think that's enough.
It's either, is it Beavis or Butthead?
Yes.
Or Beavis both. And or Butthead. I think he was doing it both. You are in the drawing. Well done.
That's probably the easiest one, I would guess.
All right, okay. All right. One for one.
Not bad. Let's go to Alex and Vernon. Hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
You sound embarrassed to be on this show right now.
I am, because Omar is really bad and everything.
Yeah. It's janky, but good luck.
I hope you lose. here we go.
All right.
George Takei?
George Takei!
Rocking it.
Unbelievable.
Well done, Alex. Good. Not embarrassed now, are you?
All right, let's go to Steve in Azusa. Hi.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
We are good. Surprised to be two for two. I got to be honest with you. You're a third contestant. Here we go.
Here we go.
All right.
That's what I got, dude.
All right, here's what I'm going to say.
That's what I got.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm looking at the answer, and I don't get it.
Come on. Oh, let's be fair to Steve. Try again, and try to make it sound like the celebrity you're doing.
That's what I got, dude.
Wow. I feel so bad for Steve.
Yeah, I do, too. I apologize.
Okay, let me try it one more time.
Okay.
Okay.
You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what I got, dude.
All right, Steve, who's the celebrity laugh?
Oh, my God. I'm going to say Krusty the Clown.
That was supposed to be...
That was Pee-wee
Herman.
That
was supposed to be Pee-wee
Herman. That's my Pee-wee.
Steve, I'm so sorry. It's not your fault, man. It's not your fault. I'm so sorry.
We blame Omar.
That was tragic and wrong and sad.
Let's go to Redondo Beach and say hi to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
You're lucky.
How about that Pee-wee Herman, huh?
Yeah.
You're lucky you didn't get that one. All right, here we go.
Fat Albert's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
But it's more.
No, it's supposed to be Eddie Murphy. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Again, not you.
All right. Two for four. I think we got time for maybe a couple more.
All right. Ben and Downey. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good luck.
Here you go.
All right.
Is that Fran Drescher?
Oh, boom! My
God! Wow,
I can't believe you got that.
I really think Ralph should be doing these voices.
Yes, of course he should.
No, because then they'd sound good.
You're absolutely right. All right, we got time for one more contestant. Who's it going to be? We're playing Laugh-A-Roki here for Kevin Amin April Foolishness tickets in the pit, but it's the party bus section.
Party bus section, yeah. You get parking in the VIP, the whole thing. All right, Brandon in Glendale. Hi.
Hello.
Did you get any of those so far? How are you doing on hold?
No. I couldn't tell if the last one was Fran Drescher and Janice from Friends. So.
Oh, very similar.
Oh, good. Very similar.
Good
okay.
Good pull.
All right.
Okay, there we go.
Hi. Hi. That's pretty good, actually. Brandon?
I'm going to say Jerry Lewis.
What if I played you this?
Oh, that's Krusty the Clown.
Krusty the Clown.
That's Krusty the Clown. That's what we were looking for.
We can't go out on a loser, right? We got to continue.
Yes, you want to do one more?
Continue. One more. Let's do one more.
Because I do this one really good.
Let's go to Corey in Redondo Beach.
I don't believe you.
Hi, Corey.
Hey, guys. What'd you do?
All right. Bad things, sir. Bad things. You're a final contestant for Laugh a Rookie. Listen up and identify this celebrity laugh.
All right. Peter Griffin.
Whoa! Yes! Unbelievable.
Well done, Corey. You are in the drawing, as is Ben, Alex, and Dennis. Who will win the tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, including the VIP reception, the T-shirt, and the VIP party? Allie McKay, who's our winner?
I have shuffled the names. The winner is Alex.
Alex. Yay! Congratulations,
yes!
Alex.
Yes. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. Omar, I take it back. You're awesome.
All right, thanks.
Like what? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
I'm impressed that you're showing your face in here, Ralph, now that you have seen the competition you have in the impressions here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, with Omar.
Omar doing his
Laugh-a-rookie.
Trust me, I was getting a little nervous in the other room.
You should have been.
Yeah.
His Pee Wee Herman was just uncanny.
It's like that parrot who does Sean Connery. Have you seen that bird yet?
I don't think I have.
I'll have to bring in some audio of the parrot that does Sean Connery. It's pretty damn impressive.
Hey, Dennis Hoff is an American success story. He is the author of The Art of the Pimp, a love story. He, of course, is the gentleman behind, if you've seen the HBO show Cat House, you know all about his empire of legal prostitution brothels in Nevada. He has a job opening if you would like to work in the field. You're going to wait to hear what this job is. We're going to talk to Dennis Hoff, owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and Love Ranch, right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday or this Wednesday, whatever day it is.
This is Wednesday, Bean. And this is nothing against Dennis Hoff, who I think is a great American.
Right.
But when I watch Cat House, and I've seen other features on his properties where he features his young ladies who do the Lord's work, let's face it.
Right.
It always strikes me that the properties themselves, the atmosphere, comes off as a little low rent to me.
All right.
And it always struck me, why isn't someone going there and if that's the...
Do a high-end
freaking just adult amusement park with the legal situation they have there in Pahrumpf. Why not just do it upright? Knock up the price a little bit, high-end... All the way, cocktails, situations, rooms, bar, restaurant, just to make an adult playground.
I don't know. It would be interesting to see how much people spend there. I mean, maybe there's not enough.
They don't mind the wood paneling and the quilts. They don't need Property Brothers to come in and redo it.
I think the Property Brothers should come in and redo one of their brothels, yes.
Well,
put that
I wonder
on the
if...
Home and Garden Network or whatever.
There's a lot I don't know about this topic, and of course, it's great that we'll be able to ask Dennis, but I mean, is there a limit as to how many legal brothels can open? Like,
I
wonder if anyone can, like, could you, if you wanted to, pull some money together and open up some competition for
and there
him?
May
I don't
be
know.
No market for it. I don't know. Maybe the market doesn't support it. Maybe there's not enough whoremongers out there to keep you going if you had a high overhead. You know, maybe
how much money is in Las Vegas? How many super, super, super wealthy people?
But you're not in Vegas.
You're not in Vegas, though.
Or are they just getting them sent up to the room, I guess? Those people are.
Yeah, they are.
They don't need to leave the Strip to go get it.
Right, they don't. And it's a long drive from Vegas to Pahrumpf.
It's like an hour and a half or something.
Yeah.
The one time I made the drive, I forgot by the time I got there. Why I was there.
You just outed yourself.
What? No, I was just saying a lot of people, they'll make that long drive and then they won't remember why they came.
Nor didn't.
Penis.
That's why. I don't know. In my fantasy brain, I see myself as the
you're the Hugh Hefner of that world.
Hugh Hefner of a high-end hotel resort playground for the rich and debauched.
There's your post-radio career right there. You live in the beautiful tax-free state of Nevada, and you are rolling in it, man.
Then you say, to greet people?
That's what I say, all
it's
right.
It's the best.
Yep. Be like Disneyland with vaginas, I guess is what I'm thinking, for grown-ups. Vagina Land.
I like it.
I'd be like the Walt Disney of Vagina Land. Hey, I want to give you something now.
Oh, yuck.
No, this is an unrelated topic.
Oh, new topic. Okay.
WonderCon happens this weekend. WonderCon. I wonder what goes on at that con. Well, let me tell you. Science fiction, fantasy, comic books, pop culture, movies, television, everything that you could want is there at WonderCon this weekend.
Prostitution?
No. But think of, like, San Diego Comic-Con in Anaheim. Boom. You got yourself
your WonderCon. We have a winner, believe it or not.
Happens from April 3rd through the 5th this weekend. I want to give four lucky winners a pair of single-day passes. You can pick Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to go down to the Anaheim Convention Center and participate in WonderCon, one of my favorite events of the year. You can also go to comic-con.org for more information and to get your own tickets. But if you'd like to win tickets, call me now, 1-800-520-1067, with the following answer. Here's a trivia question. I'm not just going to give them away. You have to be a comic book fan. 1960 was the year.
Okay.
In Brave and Bold number 28, the comic book Brave and Bold number 28 from DC Comics, the Justice League first appeared. The first adventure of the Justice League.
True.
True, yes.
Those are all true. What I need to know is, give me the original lineup of the Justice League of America. Who was in the Justice League of America in its original incarnation in 1960? That's how long they've been around. Jesus was not. He was not. He was added to the team later, I think.
You're going hardcore nerd on this one.
This is the original lineup of the Justice League of America. Hey, these are all well-known superheroes. You'll know every name of the original lineup of the Justice League. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. You know the answer. Give it to Beer Mug. Boom. Get yourself a pair of tickets if you're one of the first four callers.
Miley Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus did not make the original
cut. Has this person ever been back to the future?
No, this person has never been back to the future.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon was also not in the original.
Harrison Ford.
No, Harrison Ford was not in the
Justice League. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, not in the Justice League of America as well.
The Mexican.
Yes.
Best superhero
Best
ever.
Best superhero ever.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
Yes, okay, Rodney. Justin Bieber had a new album ready to go, according to USA Today.
Yes.
But he has scrapped it all.
Is that right?
He told USA Today that Kanye West and Rick Rubin are now working with him as he starts the project all over again. Oh, good. Kanye West and Justin Bieber are working together. This is like a supervillain team-up. Where's the Justice League of America when you need them to take down these two supervillains?
But Rick Rubin is a serious producer.
Well, we send in a SWAT team to pull Rick Rubin out of there, and then we send in the drone strike.
Rescue him. I like it.
My whole direction has changed, says the Biebs. What you are thinking about all the time is what you write. And now that I'm thinking about more positive things, it completely changes my music. Please let it be gospel. 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 It would be great if he went to Christian rock.
That would be
and
great.
And just died on the vine. Just disappeared from all of our views forever. The best. Can we? I know it's not show business, but we have to talk at some point about Andrew Getty, don't we?
That was a surprise and tragic story.
But
I guess I don't really
beyond mean. Tragic. Just what the F happened in that house? 47 years old, heir to the Getty oil fortune. 47 years old, Andrew Getty.
Right.
In his home, found nude from the waist down with blunt force trauma to the rectum. That's how they found him. What happened? Where's Dateline NBC now? Where's Keith Morrison telling me, it turned out he sat on a Hot Pocket. I don't know what happened, but I need some answers. Talk about stories you need answers to.
And some of the reports.
Bean wants to know why the freaking dog's laid out in a funeral parlor.
That's true.
That's what he wants to know. How about what happened to ruin the ass of the Getty oil fortuneer? How about that story?
I didn't dive very deep into this last night.
That was the problem.
Didn't he have a restraining order against someone that
his
he had
girlfriend.
Just filed?
The one that called
911. The one who called 911.
Yeah. And there was, but they don't seem to be suggesting that there's any foul play suspected here. They're talking about how he died of potentially an accident or natural causes.
What
is all
accident
they're saying.
Do you have?
Right. Right. I know. It's weird. The whole thing is on weird. That one. You're right.
Rectum, we hardly even knew him.
Oh, nope.
Well, you see the stories, Ralph. We cover them from time to time of the guys who accidentally fall on the hose to the vacuum cleaner or something like that, right? It happens. And ends up in their butt. They can't help it, man. It's just a bad angle.
If he had come to Vagina Land in Pahrump, Nevada, he would have had a much safer experience.
You're right.
Yep, we could have taken care of all of his needs in the safety and comfort of a high-quality five-star hotel resort.
My wife mentioned last night that all of those Getty kids, who are all worth billions of dollars, every single one of them has nothing but relationship trouble, losing wives, losing girlfriends.
The DuPont kids are all the same, too.
And what is that about? I mean, it seems like you could get away with that much money.
No good for you. That's the moral of the story.
But it seems like you could get away. I mean, a woman would stick around for a lot if her husband/boyfriend is worth $1 billion+.
Because that's all we want.
Yeah.
Thank you, Allie.
Gold diggers.
You for admitting it, being the only one brave enough to admit it.
That was sarcastic.
Speaking of the brave and the bold, in number 28 in 1960, the Justice League first appeared. Let's find out their original lineup, shall we? Do we have Marcos, I think, on line one? He was the first winner through with the correct answer. Of who was the original lineup?
What a surprise, dude. Hey, Marcos.
Hello.
Give me the lineup.
It's Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter.
Right.
Wonder Woman.
Right.
Flash.
Right. I think you're missing one.
Aquaman.
There you go.
Wow.
Here's your Justice League of America right there as they originally appeared. I want to thank Marcus for calling in. You're going to WonderCon, Marcus. Congratulations. Hold on. Also, congratulations to Vin and Jeremiah and Sophia, a lady who wants to go to Comic-Con this weekend. Kevin and Bean, with your sexist views towards Comic-Cons and women.
Does her boyfriend give her the answer?
Go to her right now. Go to her. I insist you go to her right now. Sophia?
Hello.
Hi, Sophia. Did you know the answer?
Yes, I did.
Are you a comic book geek?
Yes, I am. I just took my kids to Marvel Universe Live this weekend. We were all dressed as the Avengers.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm going to get to pull out my Black Widow costume again, so that's exciting.
You're the best mom ever. Enjoy WonderCon this weekend.
Thank you.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. See?
I was wrong.
Thank you.
You were right.
Thank you. I need that tape, Chip. You want to see that piece? I'm going to need that every day for the rest of my career.
Come on.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Susan Boyle's 54, David Oyelowo. The guy
Did
from...
Brad Pitt teach us nothing?
The guy from the Selma movie, 39 years old. Taron Killam from SNL is 33, and Asa Butterfield turns 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock. I'm always excited when we have our next guest on the program, Dennis Hoff. We can all agree that he is an American hero, right?
That's correct.
You guys are with me on that. He is the owner of a full third of the legal brothel business in the great state of Nevada, including the one we all are familiar with, which is the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Always a pleasure to welcome Mr. Hoff back to the program. Hey, Dennis, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Good morning. You guys get to live through me vicariously, and I love that.
We love it as well. We're always excited to have you on. We have many questions for you today, including about the new job posting you have, but I want to start by just mentioning you have an autobiography out called The Art of the Pimp, A Love Story. Are we going to find out how a little tiny boy named Dennis Hoff grew up to become the man that you are today?
Absolutely. You're going to find out everything and what's making it such a success. And by the way, MGM has already taken an option for a TV show, The Art of the Pimp, is that it's honest. It's like the HBO Cat House series. And it's just honest. It's about everything in my life, the goods, the bads. It's got, you know, testimonials from Tucker Carlson and the owner of the Lakers and crazy stories with Ron Jeremy. And, in fact, even my ex-girlfriends have their own chapters in there. One of them on the line right now, but she's my current girlfriend, Chrissy Summers.
Hi there. How are you?
You're a lucky lady, Chrissy.
Well, yes, I am.
Okay, so Art of the Pimp is available everywhere, wherever books are sold or downloaded. You should definitely check it out. It sounds like a fascinating, fascinating story. We were talking about the business of legal brothels there in Nevada, and we were wondering why there is not incredible competition. Like, why are there so few places where you can legally practice this trade in your state, Dennis? If it's legal in the state, why aren't there 10 a week opening up?
Absolutely. Well, they're restricted by the amount in each county. You know, it's not legal in Vegas, not legal in Reno. Thousands of people get arrested every month thinking that it is. We're an hour out of Vegas, and then in northern Nevada where the Bunny Ranch is, we're right between Reno and Lake Tahoe. But it should be everywhere because sex trafficking is just out of hand in America, and I write about that in the book. It's like prohibition didn't work, prohibition of weed didn't work, and it's not working with sex, and we need to do something about it.
USA!
LA is out of here.
Do you see? Do you see us heading in that direction? Can you envision a time, perhaps in your lifetime, Dennis, where it might be legal in more states?
I doubt it, and only because the politicians are such hypocrites. They'd rather allow all this enabling of sex trafficking, and it's out of hand in L.A., as you know, and then to listen to that one little old lady that's very Christian and has these morals that doesn't like the business. They don't want to put themselves in a position to take any flack at all.
Allie McKay is here with us on the Kevin DeBeach Show, too. Allie, you've never had the chance to address Mr. Hoff personally, and I know you were just burning up with questions before we get into the job opportunities.
I have so many questions. Hi. most of them have to do with the job opportunity. But first of all, do you have brothels where men are there to give services, if you will?
I do not.
You do not.
It's something that Heidi Fleiss and I are talking about doing. She wanted to do it 4 or 5 years ago, but then she ended up on Celebrity Rehab. But she was in New York with me doing television shows, and she said, Dennis, I want to revisit that because the time has come. It's time because the women are out there making lots of money and business women, and they don't have time to date, so they need a little help there.
Okay.
All right, this job that Allie made reference to has been international news everywhere. You are looking for paid quality control testers. Tell me what that means, Mr. Hoff.
Well, that's the dream job. In fact, Chrissy has 6 interviews before we go do the Maury Show today in New York City. And, you know, with any product, you've got to have testers. Every restaurant has secret shoppers, car firms do it. Everybody does this, except we're doing it and with the girls, because I want to know, is the girl at the front door giving the first impression? Is the bartender serving the drinks in the proper glass? And do the girls in the room know all the moves, the techniques, the things that need to be done to keep our customers coming back?
So you're going
to
pay somebody a full salary, right? It's a full-time job.
Apps, full-time job.
To go to the different brothels and just have sex with the women and then report on it.
And give me a full result. If this isn't the dream job, I don't know what is to get paid to do something that most people enjoy a lot. Now, finding the right person, the person with the stamina.
Me. I'm sorry. I thought that was just in my head.
If you guys get permission slips from your wives, you're both hired.
You can't evaluate somebody in 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually a pretty good point. So, but Dennis, it almost seems like this. I mean, you're a genius at self-promotion. When I first saw this story, I thought, this is brilliant. Dennis is once again, then and again, he's got everybody talking about his properties in Nevada. But you're not really going to hire somebody, are you?
I am going to. We've been doing this for 23 years. We've ran out of resources in northern Nevada. So we were reaching out to the public to hire different people. We'll fly them in. They'll spend 2 or 3 or 4 days in southern Nevada at my brothels. Then they'll go to northern Nevada and hit all the places and give me full reports.
All right, what are you looking for in a candidate?
Yeah, and how do you make sure that they are the right candidate? Are they, quite frankly, interviewed the same way, if you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Allie, I think you would be a perfect candidate because I want a girl's perspective from this also.
Interesting.
And so if you're interested, I'll definitely hire you.
Well, my question, though, is if you want a guy, obviously he's got to have stamina, that type of thing, but you've got to test that out. You don't just hire him blind, right?
Well, you need to know about his experience. You know, where did you come from? You know, how did you get it? How much experience have you got? Where did you get it? Obviously, the porn guys are all going to jump on this.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting a lot of women applying, and I'm also getting a lot of people that just got out of the military that can't get the jobs that they want. So I'm going to try to support our military all I can.
So how do people apply?
USA!
How do people apply, Dennis, if they want the job?
Dennis at MoneyRanch.com, or they can go to the MoneyRanch.com site, and there'll be an application form on there. But we're going to hire a bunch of people.
Wait, you're going to hire more than one guy?
Oh,
or girl?
Yeah.
You have to.
All right.
We have to.
Well,
it's an
exhausting job,
right,
Kevin. You can't do that every single day. You got to rotate in and out.
Is this full-time, part-time benefits other than, you know, typical benefits? Are they getting health insurance, that type of thing?
Yes, absolutely. They get all the benefits that they have for working at the Bunny Ranch, but the big benefit seems to be being able to interact with these girls, which is the benefit that everybody seems to want.
Sure.
But we're gonna do this, and we need a bunch of people to fill these spots because we're gonna do this forever. I'm never stopping to make sure that I have a quality product for the public.
That is Dennis at BunnyRanch.com and BunnyRanch.com.
What's the pay rate? Is a good question.
Allie is actually serious about applying.
I'm dead serious.
She wants
Allie, we can have you work on the weekends if you want. If you want to just come on up on a Friday night.
What does it pay in the ballpark?
Well, we're gonna. It's open for discussion. Depends on what it is, but we're thinking $1,000 a week plus the benefits.
All right.
Wow. Chip just perked up over there, too.
Seriously, a lot of us have been wasting our time in dead-end jobs now, I realize. All right, last question, and it's for you, Chrissy. Seriously, Dennis is exhausting to be with, right? That's a yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's
a yes. I mean, he's a business owner. It can be exhausting. I'm not going to lie. Like,
do you get to talk when you're alone with him? Do you get to say a word?
Do I get to say a word?
When you're alone with him.
Yeah.
No, you're lying.
All right. You're very sweet to stand up for your man publicly. All right, Dennis, you're a great American hero, sir. Good luck with the search. We love you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's always fun. And you guys, listen, get that permission slip from your wife and come on up.
Yeah, that'll be easy. We'll be right there.
Uh-huh.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
Several of our listeners have suggested that we are trying to April Fool's prank them with the Dennis Hott phone call. But that's not the case.
Nope. Well, I mean, if it's an April Fool's joke, we weren't in on it.
Right, yeah. I mean, this was news within the last few days. It's not like it just came out today. But he swears that he is hiring testers for his brothels. So that was for reals, according to Mr. Hoff. So just so you know, I didn't want you to think we're trying to pull the wool over you, because that we'd be very bad people if we tried to do an April Fool's Day prank, we've been told.
And apparently, Allie Mack's going to take the job.
She's sounds like she's very interested.
Test out some hookers.
Nope.
This weekend.
She had a lot of questions, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Ralph is here for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Mr. Garman?
Before I beat you, let me give you something. How about one lucky person gets a pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew Santa Anita Derby Days party?
Yay!
You and three friends will get to go to the K-Rock Microbrew event this weekend. It's held Saturday at Santa Anita Park, featuring a performance by Metalachi. Here's what the package includes. VIP admission for four, backstage access, four drink tickets, and $106 in a voucher that you get to bet on the ponies. What could be more fun than a day at the track, especially with the K-Rock gang? Lightning's going to be there. Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to be there. Omar Khan, DJ Omar Khan, will be there. Stryker will be there. There's live racing all day long. The infield opens at 11 a.m. You got to be 21 years of age or older to enjoy this private, this VIP pack. And so make sure you are before you call me right now at 1-800-520-1067.
Fantastic.
Let's say, four pack of tickets. So let's say listener number four. Calls through at that number, gets the VIP tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew Santa Anita Derby Days party.
Who wants to eat grass?
Yeah, I'll give you a t-shirt if you'll eat your own foot.
Lightning on the mic is magic.
She really does some interesting contests.
He loves nothing more than to be on the microphone of these things and just get drunk and make people do embarrassing things for very little.
Remember when they wouldn't let me come because I hit that woman in the head with a beer stein?
Yeah. Oh, I can't imagine that. You beamed a woman by throwing a mug into the crowd. And they said, please don't come back, Kevin.
Hit her right in the forehead.
Kevin has been banned from so many places.
Who could have seen that coming? Throw heavy things into the crowd.
It was a solid one, too. It was not like a lightweight little thing. It was strong.
Just because you see Lightning throwing t-shirts in the crowd doesn't mean you can pick up beer steins.
We got a winner!
That's where we get that from.
Yeah.
He's from one of his legendary Santa Anitas.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I want to make sure I'm not remiss here in any way. We were talking about Andrew Getty of the Getty Oil Fortune, 47 years old, who passed away due to blunt trauma to the rectum. I did not mean to belittle his death in any way. Some people are upset with my behavior. I'm just fascinated as to what could cause that sort of damage to result in death.
Yeah, that's you don't hear that every day, for sure.
I also was chastised by some listeners saying I ignored another very important death. So I did want to mention that Gary Ross Dahl has passed away. Gary Ross Dahl passed away Tuesday at the age of 78.
We are going to miss
We will miss Gary Ross Dahl.
Guy.
He was a genius.
and all of the things he did.
I hold him largely responsible for America being a bunch of dumbasses now. I think he helped push us off that cliff.
Or did he capitalize on a nation that was already dumb and just figured out a way to make money off
it? Okay. He made being a dumbass acceptable.
By creating
and selling, Allie, a little invention in the 1970s known as the pet rock.
Yay!
F this guy, right? F this guy with the pet rock.
No, don't F this guy.
Yeah.
This
was the beginning of the end of us as a society. Once we embraced the pet rock, it was all downhill from there.
But he made a living on it.
Because he pushed us off the cliff of stupidity. Now we're a nation that we're buying en masse. We're going out and buying rocks in little crates
and
taking them home as pets.
I admire you too. My only regret is I didn't think of it before he did.
Because if America had been dumbed down, you two never would have got a job in radio. That's why you admire him.
Well, maybe.
This asshole.
I'm
glad he's dead.
I love him. I love his product.
I hope he got hit in the head with one of his own rocks. That's how he died. Like Kevin throwing one at a Santa Anita event and beating him right in the temple. Yeah, the pet rock will be your devoted friend and companion for many years to come, it said on the box. F you!
See, because it was a low-maintenance pet that he was selling for $4.
No allergies, no food, no feeding, no cleaning up after it.
But I look at that and go, okay, it's not for me. I don't want or need a pet rock. But more power to that guy for coming up with that idea that captures the imagination of the public.
Especially with something so stupid.
And so simple.
I love it.
That anyone could have done it, but did we? No. Mr. Dahl did it.
F this guy. Right into the ground.
How about if you had come up with the idea?
I never would, because it's so stupid. And I would say, aren't we better than that? We're better than that, right?
We're not better than that, Ralph. We're not.
Can't we aspire to be better than that?
No.
Let's not add to the mix. Let's not tie these pet rocks around our ankles and jump into the pool of stupidity.
Do you have any idea who you're talking to?
By the way, sweet analogy. Don't just gloss over that. That was sweet.
I don't know why you begrudge somebody for having a ton of fun
because
or spending a couple of dollars to put something on a shelf that makes them smile. What's wrong with that?
This was the beginning of all the stupid fads and dumb things and the Macarena and who let the dogs out and all the novelties and fad stuff that just brought us down to just a bunch of dummies.
Who hurt you, Ralph?
Hurt you.
This guy did by selling rocks in a box to people who were paying $3.95 a pop, by the way.
Oh, wait, I get it.
No, not at all.
It's cheap at half the price.
How can...
love it.
How can you support that?
I love it because it's such a stupid idea, but he made bank. That's awesome.
You got to applaud that.
Good on him.
Just like talking to Dennis Hoff. You go, there's a guy who came from nothing and created an empire with his own brain.
We used to be a society that would construct great skyscrapers and expansive bridges.
Those people still exist.
And send man to the moon.
No, but the pet rock didn't stop those things from happening.
Oh, yeah. When's the last time we sent anybody to the moon? You know what we're too busy doing? Looking at Kim Kardashian selfies.
What does that have to do with pet rocks?
That was the beginning.
Oh.
Patient zero.
Beginning of the end. I admire him.
I bet you do.
I'd write there with you, Kevin.
Because he made stupid a way of life, Kevin.
He's a great American.
I enjoy the pet rock. I tell it to stay, and it doesn't.
But, Ralph, what about the decades and decades before the pet rock, where people were doing dumb things like hula hooping and swallowing goldfish and cramming into phone booths? I mean, people have always done dumb things.
Children. Not the grown-ups. Not the adults. Not the people who are supposed to do things. And make things and be people.
This is ugly. I gotta tell you, this is ugly.
I'm gonna go to Studio 54, do some blow, and buy a pet rock. F you, 70s. Look what you've done to us.
A whole decade?
Yep.
Okay. So we're sad he's dead, right?
No, we're not. I'm happy he's dead.
Bean and I are sad he's dead.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing Andrew Getty's rectal trauma came from a pet rock. That's what I'm guessing it all comes down to.
Not to make light of his tragic death, as you were saying earlier.
More importantly, Cynthia Lennon, John Lennon's first wife, has also passed away at the age of 75. So, a lot of death. She was Julian's mom.
Okay.
So, Cynthia Lennon, gone. Yoko, still with us. Just keeping track. John, gone. Cynthia, gone. Yoko, still warbling in museums.
People were like, what?
Yeah.
That's real, by the way. That mm-hmm. happened, and people applauded?
Yeah.
F her. Right?
No, I applaud her. I think her music is the pet rocks of music.
Well,
good for her to be able to do that in a museum and get paid for it and have a career making those noises. Good for her. Right, Kevin? That's how we're looking at the world now. Everybody can just do everything. Right, Kevin?
I'm not listening.
I'm out of time already. I didn't even get to Spandau Ballet playing their first show ever in San Diego. I'm super excited.
That can't be true.
Oh! File you.
Whatever.
Love that song. Real quick email before I get...
Stop doing that! You stop it!
What?
Stop doing that! It's just Wednesday!
Really?
Okay, stop it!
My bad. I'm sorry.
Quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. This came from Lane Rabe, our listener in Denver, Colorado. Podcast listener, huge fan in Denver, writes Lane. I happened in L.A. for business recently, and I wanted to check out the Arclight Theater and hear you guys talk about it all the time. While I was there, I was thrilled and delighted to run into your own Kevin Ryder. I couldn't help but go up and say hi. I asked what movie he was there to see, and I said I was going to see Second Best Marigold Hotel. Kevin said he had just eaten a granola bar, so it was a little hard to understand him, but I think I heard him say, oh, that movie's way too plotty. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Oh, that movie is way too plotty. Oh, that movie is way too plotty. Oh, that movie is way too plotty.
Yeah. Zoom, zoom.
Lane Rave from Denver said he ran into Kevin there. Too much plot in that.
Penis.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Susan Boyle of Britain's Got Talent fame is 54 years old today. David Oli Elowo is 39 years old. He played Martin Luther King in Selma. Taron Killam from SNL, very funny man, 33 years old. And actor Asa Butterfield turns 18 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. I believe this, I'm not sure that we can pull this off because
it's too much show.
Way too many guests, too many interviews.
Wow.
We have Matthew Perry talking about The Odd Couple. We have Oscar De La Hoya. We have a brand new Internet Roundup. We have Jim Rome. We have Dr. Drew.
Come on.
And we have Andy Summers from The Police.
From The Police?
Yes. Talking about his documentary film, Surviving the Police.
Legendary guitarist Andy Summers from The Police.
So that's...
Be here tomorrow, yeah.
Come
that's
on.
It's happening all tomorrow.
The April Fools. Now you say April Fools after that lineup.
No, I mean, I think it's real.
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's a bummer then, because I was excited.